Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the reject the enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name Allah, the Merciful, Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. You have tuned in to another session of Words Made People. And by popular demand, and I really do seriously mean by popular demand, we are doing a part two of our discussion on Islam and LGBTQ. And the title today is An Islamic Discussion on LGBTQ and Teaching My Children to Listen to Their Fitra. Fitra is an Arabic word for our original nature. We will be joined soon by a special guest, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. In the present moment, we will play our opening theme song, and we'll be right back. So while the song's being played, call a friend. Tell a friend to tune in to Words Make People. We'll be right back after our opening theme song with our Quran reading. And our Quran reading today, just so you know, will be chapter 27, verse 54 and 55. We'll be right back, inshallah, God willing.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
These words that make people
and people to make the world go round. Work, make people check out the words that make your world. If your words are good, then good you'll be, cause those kind of words that set you free. When thinking starts, words come back from ideas deep in your mind. You need words to make people, and people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words.
That is our opening theme song titled Words Make People. And I humbly say, I wrote those words, believe it or not, about 30 years ago. We put the song to music about 7-8 years ago. And so that's our theme song for our program, Words Make People. Going to bring on our special guest, as he's already in queue, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Nasser.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Sahir, to you and your listening audience.
Yes, sir. Welcome. And once again, the Works Made People. You know, thanks to your contribution, I know you're going to give me some credit, but thanks to your contribution, we have to do a part two. I've never been asked to do a part two so quick, back to back. I'm serious, buddy. Look, before the show went off, you know, when the show go off, you know, I have to do like a wrap up, you know, and I get some things in place. And I'm getting emails and text messages already. I may even do a wrap up from last week and say, you got to do part two. Yeah, Dr. Nasser Ahmed was right. You got to do part two. I'm like, I ain't done wrapping up part one yet.
So, yes, sir. We thank Almighty God for you, yes, and your support of Muhammad the Prophet and Imam W.D. Muhammad, to give an alternative, to the problems that plague in our country now. Yeah, we're so thankful for you. And you listen.
Alhamdulillah. We have some awesome listeners. It's a very positive listeners and very educated listeners. They're very educated.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I like.
I enjoyed them. Yeah, last week, man, I was taking more notes than I was giving.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So our topic last week was we had a Islamic discussion. I want to emphasize Islamic.
Yes, sir.
An Islamic discussion on LGBTQ. What should our Muslim parents say to our Muslim youth? Because they're all voices. And there's some very good voices within the Muslim community, but beyond that, there's a large void of voices.
Yes, sir.
On this topic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old saying is so true, silence is consent. If you don't say I can't
do
it, you're saying indirectly, you're saying that I can. So we're coming from the Quran. That's our book. We're coming from the life model of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and peace be upon him, because he's our leader. He's our model. And we're coming from the commentary of the wisdom of Imam W.D. Muhammad, our more contemporary leader for us within our lifespan, in addressing these issues. But I want to say again, as I said last week from the top, please no one to call in and try and bash or name call or what they call that, gay bashing and all that, you know, those things.
Yeah.
We're not going to have that because that's not intelligent. It doesn't shed light. You know, and we kind of shed light. Now, we're not apologizing for our position that we do not support. We don't believe in LGBTQ lifestyle. We don't get those two confused. We're not saying that we support because we on this program don't. I know you don't. But at the same time, we want to keep it to where we can have a conversation. Because, Brother Mama, as you know, when it comes to LGBTQ or what they call critical race theory or Black Lives Matter or even MAGA, for all that concern, America has not, in my opinion, I must say, displayed the disciplines to really have a true conversation on those acronyms and what they stand for. We are so busy spitting fire and venom at each other until we don't get any progress. So our focus today is not to do that. We're not going to spit venom. We're going to try and share the truth while holding strong to our Muslim position according to the Quran and the life model of Muhammad on this topic of LGBTQ. And that's mainly to my listening audience. If you call in with unnecessary negativity, I will disconnect you. You'll be talking to me, we'll be waiting for a response, and you will be off the program. You won't even know it because we're not about that. You know, we're not about about if you got something intelligent to say, say it. You know, and even if you disagree with us, that's okay too. You know, just being honest about it. But we're going to come with what the Quran says and what the Prophet Muhammad exemplifies. Just want to get that out the way. So we can be clear. We want to be clear. And let me get something else out the way, too. This is a little side note, but we have about four or five programs on this station. This is station IWDM, and each program is supposed to support the other programs. And last week, we got to roll it so much until I forgot to mention the other programs. So to save me from doing that, just give me a minute to share the other wonderful programs on this station. Because there's a lot of good Islamic blog talk programs, but on this station, station IWDM, on Mondays, we have, it's called Al-Islam-Based Conversations with Imam Pasha Nazim. And you can see that ABCs, Al-Islam-based conversation, but he did with the ABCs of life. Mm-hmm. That's every Monday at 6 p.m. And all of these times I'm giving you are Eastern Standard Times. 6 p.m., Al-Islam-based conversations on Mondays. Every Tuesday we have a program called The Science of Health and You with Brother Salim. I'm going to get his name wrong. My goodness. Yes, Brother Salim. Out of St. Louis. And that's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. He deals with health issues, science issues, and how they affect you and us as individuals. And that's at every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have on Wednesdays, we have Brother Mark Shaheed. He is a very popular blog talk host. He come on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. His Wednesday program is titled Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. And that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And I think and also he has the Muslim Roundtable. That may be Wednesday or Thursday, but they will follow the first program. So Wednesdays at 7 p.m., the Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. He, as I said, he comes back on Thursday, again at 7 p.m., and he has the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That's every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're here every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Juma prayer we have here in Indianapolis, Indiana. So those are the programs we have on station IWDM. The last house cleaning I have to do because I won't forget is that always support Muslim Journal newspaper. Always support Muslim Journal newspaper. That is our institution. That's our legacy. And it goes back to the hands, to the physical hands of our brother El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X. It goes back to his hands. So support our Muslim Journal. That's our newspaper, preserving our history. And it has in the Quran, even if you don't read it yourself, get two or three, because on page 2, there's the Quran and there's a hadith. And on page 15, there's commentary by Ibn al-Dawud Muhammad. Support our newspaper, Muslim Journal. Go to muslimjournal.net. And order your subscription. You can do an online subscription. You don't have to do hard copy. You can to do an online subscription and do softback or the hardback, I'm sorry, hard copy, then come through the regular mail. I'm going to let my brother Monk Shahid in just for a minute. I hope he just called in to correct me on the programs because I'm not ready for callers now. But I see his hand is up. Brother Monk Shahid, you have a comment?
Yes,
you have a comment.
Assalamualaikum to you. Email Mikhail Sayan to your very distinguished guest and my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. It is a correction. That's Rashid Salam on Tuesday.
On
Tuesday.
When I said that, I knew I had it. When it came out,
But he's Rashid Salam. And then the MGM Roundtable, that stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, it follows the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab every Wednesday at 8 p.m.
All right.
I just want to make that correction. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes,
wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir. So he'll hear perhaps one on the phone if you go back out, because you may want to come back in and say something again later on. And that's our brother Mark Shahid out of St. Louis, the STL. And wonderful programs. Okay, alhamdulillah. Brother Imam, we're ready to begin our discussion. Part two, we call it. And I want to begin just by saying a few words. Oh, I almost forgot another very important tradition we have. This show is called Words Make People. And the best words for making human beings are the words given to us in the Quran. And so we always begin our program with reading from the Quran. And we're going to read today, Brother Imam, our listeners, from chapter 27, verse 54. And verse 55. And I'd like to have you, Imam Nasser, make some comments on this reading, and then we will go and get it into our conversation. So we know, dear believers, as Muslims, and there are some who are listening who may not be Muslims, we don't just think of the Quran and begin reading. We always say two phrases. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, which means with the name of God, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful. No, I'm sorry. A'udhu billahi, that means I seek refuge with God. Let me begin from the top. The first one is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, which means I seek protection with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. The second phrase we say before reading the Quran is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And yet one caveat on that second phrase, do not say that second phrase if you read it from chapter 9, because it does not begin with that. So here, just we read it from chapter 27, verse 54, and Allah says, Walutan is kala the ka. He says, and Lut, the prophet Lut, and that's Lot in English. I can hear a train in the background. Okay. It says, and Lut, or Lot, when he said, they call me, he, to his people, he says, at Tatuna, Fahishati. He said, do you commit immorality? Immorality? He says, wa antu tusiruna. He says, why you see? So he's talking to his people. He said, you committed a sin, an immorality, and you have understanding. You have your sight, and that you see. So he asked him a question. He says, well, in the coup, let the tuna rijalin shawatin. He says, why do you approach men with lust? I'm going back to the beginning of Imam Nasser, because I'm just seeing this. He says, he said to his people, why do you commit people when you see? I mean, You see what's right and what's wrong. He says, why do you approach regale men with lust. He says, men do need nisai instead of women. This is the Quran, chapter 27, 54 and 55, maybe 54 and 55. Okay, I'm reading them both together. With lust, he asked him the question plainly. He said, the people you see, you have knowledge, you understand, and you still prefer to have lust for men instead of women. He asked the question, he said, why do you do that? Why do you do that? And it concludes by saying, Bal antum kamu tashaluna. He says, nay, you are people ignorant. Brother Imam Nasser?
Yes, sir.
You know, that kind of reminds me, in America, we're surrounded by a whole lot of knowledge, science, and technology. And we still see people acting, he says, Tash Haluna, ignorant. So we say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah has spoken my truth. Imam Nasser, any comments, please, on chapter 27,
yes.
Verse 54, 55?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. You know, we give charity for persons who are sick, who can't do their jobs, or they're elderly, or they're very young. Many reasons why we give charity. And one of the other reasons we give it for is because people are physically out of doors without a home,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes, sir.
But it is also for the person, more importantly, that is mentally out of doors and mentally without the home of understanding. And that this is what this is addressing. You know, when you say homosexual, say for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's two words and it's telling you where the problem is. And the problem is that too many have taken sex for the home. And what I mean is that it doesn't necessarily have to be same sex. It could be heterosexual. Means people whose mind, instead of being a mind in understanding, their mind is dominated by sexual unchecked hormones. And so this is what this, one of the reasons that we find this particular situation in the culture and one of the problems. Because as we had mentioned the other week, everybody's got a brain. The animal has a brain. The horse has a brain. The bear has a brain.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
who has a mind? You see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not enough to have a brain, but you have to also have a mind. And then
mm-hmm.
once you recognize that, then we have to say, well, who is influencing the mind? Are you in control of your mind? Or somebody else controlling your mind, much like your car, your automobile. You know, you have one wheel in the car, and that's for the driver, and the rest of the seats have no wheels. They have passenger seats, but one wheel. And so for
mm-hmm.
the human mind, it's the same thing. The human mind should be driven by one universal license, understanding. And just
mm-hmm.
like the automobile can be hijacked, the person can have his own car and somebody can hijack his car with him in his car. And so this is what scripture is trying to address. Too often, the car for the human being is the mind is what we're talking about. And
right.
the mind has to be driven by common sense and reality. And when
mm-hmm.
we get mysticism and perversion, now that mind has been hijacked, just like an automobile is hijacked, even
mm-hmm.
with the licensed driver in the car,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got back
so this
driver,
is the
huh?
question is asking, yeah, you know, the sex is a natural phenomena in all life. But when it degenerates, is sex out of context, then
mm-hmm.
it becomes lust. Mm-hmm. It becomes lust.
Okay.
Instead of sex being from the neck up, sex becomes from the neck down. And for the human being, that's trouble. For an animal, he's safe. You know, the animal driven by sex is safe because the animals are always stay in the sacred gender. The male animals gonna always go with the female. And I heard a PhD mathematician tell an audience that 20% of animals were homosexuals. This is in the media, you know. And I mean, I couldn't believe when I heard this. Now, this guy's a mathematician. I wanted to tell him, you need to stay in your field. You're out of your seat. You cannot show us 20% of animals that are homosexual or same sex. And I'm saying that it's not a criticism against the homosexual community, but the problem is that you have people who are taking nature out of context. There is no 20% of animals that are same sex. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this to your listeners. You know, you go into science, biology, botany, you cannot find this. It's impossible. And I just want to make this one point. Any lesbian or any gay male, they have their individual life. They may choose same sex, but they have to have a heterosexual relationship to bring them about. And this is where the logic is in logic is being defied. You know, where's the basis for your position? You know, you in direct conflict with your own life.
Mm-hmm.
It took heterosexual relationships to bring about your relationship or your life. So your life is in contradiction with your origin. And we just, as you say, we're just trying to help people to think. Because like we had mentioned last week, you know, when we were young as African Americans, we were taught to hate ourselves, to hate our black skin, big nose, nappy hair. And so we find the same problem now is in this culture, where most of these people have been, they have been deceived as to their identity. You know, who I am, you know. Yeah, and I'm going to stop there because at some point I want to give, but I know you want to.
Hello? Are you there? Hello? Did we lose him? You may have not. I think your phone went out. His call dropped. I'm sure he'll be calling right back. So if he called right back, I'll bring him back in. Yeah. I think he just called back. You may have not. If you just called back in, you can press one on your phone. Then you come back to the top. Okay. There he is.
I wanted to make a point, and
I wanted
to let you make a point.
Okay, I'm back. Something
I wanted
to say. Okay, no, let you just back on, let your call drop, and I had to bring you back into the queue. Go ahead and make your point, please.
Okay, you know, and the problem is now identity crisis. It used to be identity crisis racially, you know, blacks is inferior and this kind of thing. A racial identity crisis, inferiority complex. Now it's gender. It's a gender confusion. Am I a male in a male body or am I a female in a male body? And this kind of thing. And so God has already solved the identity crisis in nature. And it starts with your fingerprint. You can have identical twins joined at the hip or at the head. Look exactly alike physically, but they have individual different fingerprints. And not only that, God has given footprints. You not only can have a fingerprint that can identify the individual, but you can identify the individual by a footprint. You can identify the individual from any other creature by a voice print. You can identify them by an iris scan or an eye scan. I'm saying all of this because God knew that this problem would come in the future. And so he put this in scripture.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. So he put this in scripture.
Go ahead and finish your point, please.
Yeah, and we have created even your fingerprints. This is in the Quran, 1,400 years ago. Yeah, where people have confusion with regards to who they are right now?
Go ahead, Miguel. Yes, sir. No, you mentioned the twins, and that reminds me. Now, there were two twins in the NBA. I think their last name was Richardson. I'm not sure. And the one played for New Jersey, and he came out as being openly gay, and his twin was not. But when I was reading that article, this being, oh, 5, 10 years ago now, that they brought out the point that even amongst identical twins who tend to be like 99% the same, they said, but only 11% of twins were both gay, which means 90% were not. So what does that tell us? If twins share 90%, I guess say 90%, of the same traits, they look alike, walk alike, talk alike, whatever, but only 10%, 11%, it said, both become gay, then that gay trait is not, the gay is not a trait, because if they were, it would be a larger number of identical twins that would both be gay, but it's not. And so you highlight the point that even the fingertips are different. So that kind of dispels or refutes the claim that a person is born that way because identical twins are not, except it's also like 10, 11%. So,
you're absolutely right, yes. And, yeah. You know, Imam Muhammad had mentioned to us, helped us with a lot of things, and given us, sharing with us the wisdom of Muhammad the Prophet, and really Jesus and Moses. Muhammad the Prophet is really one that we can see all of the prophets prior to him in the clearest lens. Most of other religious traditions do not have historical accounts of their prophets dealing with social issues, economic issues, et cetera, et cetera. However, Muhammad the Prophet is such a plethora of information, how he had given assistance to human social problems, you know. And so we have a statement that says, "Wa'anta hillum bihad al-balad." That's Arabic, Quranic Arabic. And it says, and you are a free man in this city. And the wisdom is, you know, he's free because freedom is a precious property. It's a property. It's like a house or a car, but it's closer. And if you possess freedom, you know, you have this very, very, very special entity. But that property can become confusing. And it all depends on how you see the freedom, you know, and how you understand that freedom. Because it can be confused by suggestions in the culture. And then that same freedom can become a handicap to the person. It become a detriment to the person. It can even dismember the person. That's the abuse of freedom I'm talking about now. And it'll break you up and bring you down and make you a slave to things that are smaller than they once were in the beginning of your life. In the beginning of your life, you were big in certain relationships. But with the abuse of freedom, you become a slave to something inferior to you, such as a cigarette. You can't stop smoking it. You'll become a slave to it. But when you came out of the womb, you didn't even know what a cigarette was. I'm going off on a tangent to come back to what the problem is for your listeners. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Freedom, us, is not one word. This is for your listeners. Freedom is two words. You spell it F-R-E-E, which we know. And the second part is D-O-M, but they left the E off. And this is where people lose the great value. Your freedom is in the dome, which means your head. That's where your freedom is. So therefore, they're not necessarily interested in putting you in chains on your hands and your feet. They want to chain your mind with false ideas and false concepts of what reality really is. Thus, we have the sexual identity crisis. Who am I? And what I'm trying to tell your listeners, the fingerprint that you have now, if you're 30 years old, 50 years old, is the same fingerprints you had when you came out of the womb. And what they said you were the day you exited the womb is what you are now. They called you either male or female. Okay, as long before we came to these so-called modern ideas and these alphabet soup pronouns. And I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to help your listeners. Just like I said last the other week when we spoke, for us, we had an alphabet soup. The blacks, we were called either what? Or we were called what? Negroes? Or we were called coons? So I'm saying to the homosexual community, we blacks had this problem long before you did. And you can come out of it by following how we came out of it. You have to come back to natural knowledge of your original nature. That's all you need, who you are originally. And you have to remember, just like a woman can put on makeup and a man can put on makeup on their body and put on a wig and mascara, the same thing can be done with the human mind. And that's where the danger is, and that's where all of us, African Americans, homosexuals, you have to be careful. You have to go and make sure you're not shopping for an identity, like you go shopping for a pair of shoes or you go shopping for a dress or a shirt. You have to be careful because these people have manufactured products for your mind that's artificial, worse than any GMO, you know. And I'm laughing because I've been down there. I used to call myself a colored man. I used to call myself a Negro. So that's why I'm talking to the homosexual community. You have to do like I did and many of my African-American people. You got to look at somebody who told you that you're something other than what your mother told you, other than what your birth doctor told you. And it's important. And this is not a put-down. This is a pick-up. I want to see you be the man that God made. I want to see you be the woman that God made because I need you to help me in life. Okay, I'm a doctor, I'm a surgeon, but I need a man who's true to his nature because I'll get in trouble. As a doctor, I'll get in trouble, and I need a real man to give me some advice. Well, other times I need a real woman. I don't need somebody confused in their identity to help me. If you need a serious surgery for me to remove cancer around your neck, okay, I'm talking to all your listeners. You do not want me, Dr. Ahmed, to be confused. You want me to put that scalpel in the right place. I'm trying to break it down so that the homosexuals and the black, whoever they are, can understand, oh, yeah, I can see his point now. You don't want me to have an identity crisis. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question based on that because I heard this on a different program on the same topic. It says if a person becomes transgender, say they're 20 years old, but when they turn 40 and 50, they need surgery. The doctor got to know what was your birth. He can't treat your surgery needs based upon what you say you are. He got to know who God made you so that you are, as you say, he won't put the scalpel in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Exactly.
So they're going to treat you for surgery according to your birth, not according to what you say you are. And
that's exactly
going back to nature, in my talk Friday for Juma, I emphasized this point, and I really kind of got it from I talked last Sunday. And the emphasis was on that whatever God has ordained, you will find it supported in three different ways. First in nature.
Right.
Then you will find it, again, supported in science. And the science will support what nature says. And thirdly, you will find third support in scripture, revelation, and all three will be in one accord.
They will be in one accord.
Yes. So for an easy example, smoking, you know, science is going to back you up, revelation, or drinking, and the same for our sexual life. There's a natural, and then the science will support what nature says about your sex. And the book of Revelation will support what it says, what is your sex. But people now want to try and say that they can change science and that God made a mistake. So what are your comments on that, please?
Yes, everybody says that until there's a need in their life. You know, in other words, if you're starving, you're gonna want to know what nature has said, and you're gonna want to have what nature's nutrients will do for you. You don't want GMO, you know. And so the problem, like I was sharing with some persons, you know, there's a study out, and they have this image. I wish we could show Zoom. I would show it to your listeners, where you have what's called, you heard of genes and chromosomes, and
yes,
you have one that looks like the letter H. Well, if you cut that letter H in half, it's called a chromatid, and it's on the X line, means the woman.
Mm.
And at the bottom of it, this chromatid has a green section. And on that green section, they say, this is where the homosexual gene is, okay? Now, they tell this to people who are not botanists, who didn't study PhD-level biology and geneticists. They can't tell a geneticist that. He knows scientifically that's not the truth. And so the problem is they will find nature, they will get nature where it's exactly correct, and then they will read into nature, which is not there. For example, when they say the black man has a higher level of melanin, right? Now, that's just chemically correct. That's chemically correct. Now, I'm trying to show this to you, listeners. Now, what they will do is read into nature what's not there. What I mean, they will say, okay, the higher level of melanin means that he's inferior. And the lower level of melanin means that they're superior, meaning that white people, it's another way of saying racism. So they will use the facts of science and twist the facts of science to justify their racism. Well, the same thing they're doing in sexism. They are taking scientific information that's a fact, but they are interpreting it intentionally to favor their position, which cannot be founded in nature. It's not in nature. But they fool the people who do not know the jargon of the rational sciences, and simply because they use this 17-letter-long word, we people say, oh, it must be the truth, when they have actually twisted the facts of the matter. Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say to them. You know, human beings are very important creatures with the power to act on their own, okay? And they choose their own way of life too often, stepping outside of the pattern that nature has designed for them, you see? But they have to realize that creation, listen now, listeners, creation itself is not free. It's not free. Creation, tree, the rock, the water, the grass, those things are not free. They are under law. And man in his body, please, listeners, please listen to what I'm telling you. The human being in his body, he is also the extension of creation, and his body is under law also. And so, therefore, our free mind must respect the law that our mind has to grow inside of. My mind must have a body, and I have to respect that body has an anatomical behavioral direction. Just like a magnet always points north, just like the sun always rises in the east, it never rises in the west, so likewise it is for a human being. His personality has an automatic anatomical behavioral direction. You see? And this is where we're getting into trouble. We have violated the laws of freedom. Yeah. Thank you for letting me say that
listeners. Yeah. Because
we have to educate ourselves.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you, because that really helps me. Because so if the nature reveals the sciences, if we keep true to the nature, it's going to give us true science. We can't get around that.
That's correct.
Now, once we get the true science, if we got a bias or a problem, then we may play with the interpretation of it, but the true nature can only give true science. And revelation, exactly. And revelation from God that has not been tempered by man. We are
right.
always agree with nature and science. So to our Muslim
yes,
youth, when someone comes to you with drugs or alcohol or a sex issue, and if all three of those don't line up and agree and support the other, then you know something's wrong with the game. This game being played.
Yeah.
Because nature,
yeah.
you give birth to science and revelation, come and agree with both of them. So when people try to tell you about a talking donkey or something, it's a parable. It's an allegory. If people come
yeah,
and tell you about
good.
Sex life, come to you with
yeah.
a sex life, they don't match with all three. All three got to match. Because if
yes.
you say allegory, Imam Nasser, where in
yes,
the Bible, or the Torah, definitely in the Quran, there's no gay relationship among any of the prophets, in any of the books. So
exactly.
what is that telling us?
That's right. That's
so,
right. The highest
youth,
form of reading. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So for our youth,
yes, sir.
Get line of thinking ingrained in you
yes.
and use it as a measuring stick to measure all things. I'm being kind of bold now. I'm going to say all things in life. Is nature supporting this? Is science from nature supporting this? And is the word of God supporting this? And if it deviates in any of those three, back away from it. Back away
yes.
from it. Because God
yes.
talks to us through all three mediums. Alhamdulillah. We do have
That's
a caller.
Correct.
Brother Mel, we have a caller here.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
I'll say this here now. I told this to, I put it on Facebook, my Facebook. I probably put it on your Facebook. And I put it in the email. This is a conversation. For Muslims. So she called in. We expect me to be a Muslim because we're trying to save our children. And if you listen, you benefit from it, alhamdulillah. And she
yes.
Muslim and she disagreed, then that's okay too. Okay, you can disagree with us as well. But
sure.
this is a conversation. This is a conversation for Muslims. Our Christian friends, we welcome you to listen and to learn. But we're coming from our book, the Quran, the life model of Muhammad. And for those of us, we are students of the Imam Muhammad from his beautiful commentary, Tafsirs. So caller, first caller, we got 202. I think that's the East Coast number. Caller 202-427, can you give us your first name and your city and your question and comment? And, oh, well, you may have announced it. Somebody sent me an email said, told me I was too nice. They said, you let your folks talk, the calling people talk too long, and they want to hear from you. So you can ask our callers. If you have a comment, please have your comment prepared to be succinct and to the point. Okay, caller 202-427. You're on
yes.
Voice Great People.
Okay.
Can you give us your first name? Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
alaikum assalam.
Washington, D.C.
Yes,
Linda.
Linda.
Good to hear from you. Yeah,
good
the believers are greeting.
Absolutely.
Yes,
good to hear from you, Dr. Nasser. I'm glad to know
yes,
that you're sound and strong and got
Thank
all
you.
Your good senses, and you're still growing and educating us.
Allah
happy
Akbar.
Happy Father's Day and happy
and
Juneteenth.
And to you, may Allah bless it,
Juneteenth.
Father's Day. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Juneteenth Eve.
Yes, sir.
I say Juneteenth Eve, too.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
But I like to, since Imam's out here, a good friend, Imam Shahir, he brought up the basketball
twins.
Those were Collins
mm-hmm.
Collins twins. One of them, I think, is a coach in Golden State, and the other one retired. But also in football,
Collins, okay.
Remember they had a guy, he came in as a quote-unquote gay, and, that's kind of strange. But what I want to talk about in my few minutes here is that I believe these are signs of things to come. You know, I don't think necessarily we can stop it, but definitely we got to speak out against it and continue to educate. You know, I just saw the Denver Nuggets. They won the basketball championship. Now,
mm-hmm.
now this is not LGBTQ, et cetera, but most of them were smoking a cigar. His shirts
mm-hmm.
off as though it was a thing now, you know, and now you got all this sports betting, you know, going on TV. It's making me starting to get disgusted with enjoying the entertainment of sports now because of all of this stuff going on, and that's my comment.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Imam Lenny Bilal. Imam Nasser, do you have any comments on what my brother shared?
Yes, sir. Yes, You know, we have to realize that we're given the power of reason and the rational process in our minds. I mean, all humans. And we are able to break the pull of gravity, of natural law. You know what I mean? We walk on the grid, but we can break it by getting on an airplane. We can break it by getting on an elevator. Okay, but here's the point. Something that is designed to hold you down and limit your travel is the strongest prison cell you can find. And nothing is better than ideas to do that that are foreign to reality. And this is what we have to understand. We have to ask these questions, as Imam Sahid just said. And so when we accept these things, then we're no more than a dummy programmed to give out what was put into us with no ability to examine or question the things or the ideas that were put into us. See, and this is where the emphasis has to be given to the people in the community. Those who are suffering from racism need this phrase to think over. Those who have a sexual identity problem, you have to be given it. You don't want somebody making you a dummy, programming you, and making you put something like you some kind of computer. And then once they make you a computer, then they put a virus in your computer. You see? And so the great value is to be able to question who I am. Who made me? What is my purpose in life? It has to be higher than what I have been given. And so we're so thankful. The only time that a person can be allowed to be chained down by anything is by a woman who is carrying that person in her body for 9 months, we call pregnancy. In that state, you can tie that person up and there's no sin at all. Why? Because that tying up is his actual dependency on life. And just like he had to depend on that tie, which we call an umbilical cord or navel cord, right? You cut that cord, and now he's no longer dependent on his mother's body. Now his mind has to be depend on another body, but that body it depends on is a body of knowledge. And if you give somebody false reality, they can't even walk on earth with 2 feet. And I'll make this real plain for your listeners. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody's traditional culture, but you know rabbits don't lay colored eggs. You see? Rabbits do not lay colored eggs. So that's a scenario that you're giving to a child, and what you're doing, you're weakening the rational muscles of the child. And when that child becomes an adult, you'll find that here he gets married, but he's too weak to take on the responsibility of taking care of wife and his own children. Why? Because you gave him weak concepts when he was a child. He never had to face reality. So the same thing happens with those who are suffering from racism. The same thing happens with those who are suffering from the sexual identity. Somebody has given you a false concept of your identity, you see?
Yes, sir.
And you had to sit down in the quietness of a room by yourself with nobody around. Now, I'll say this to those who got sexual problems. You look, the next time you take a bath or a shower, make sure you stand in the mirror and look in the mirror. And as I told you, the anatomy of the human being has an inherent behavioral direction. And if you look in that mirror, the mirror is going to tell you who you are. You're only one of two sacred genders. That's all. One of two sacred genders. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. My goodness.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Well, let me just ask for clarity. Not only do the Reverend not lay color eggs, the Reverend don't lay eggs at all.
Thank you for that. I forgot that. Thank you
no
so
problem.
Much.
I understand.
But we know the sentiment and how the parents love the child, but that's you need a better way to express it. That's all we're saying.
Yes, you know, and another way, the way to express it is to respect the child's intelligence, even the one and 2 years old. Respect their intelligence.
Yes.
Brother Lenny Bilal, you can press one so you can go out of the queue. So I know that you're done. So if you want to come back in, you can. So please press 1, Brother Lyndon, and go out, please. As we go to our next caller here, coming up. But you know what? Also, what came to my mind with Emil Lyndon's comment, they tell you NFL, Football League, NBA, basketball, et cetera, they now call sports and entertainment. And of course, it's a sport. But it's really entertainment, and sometimes the entertainment is a bigger presentation than the actual game.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that when the entertainment is there to, it goes for fun, and to eat, it's just sales, entertainment. But like with the rabbit with the eggs, it can take you off course, too. And so now you have young people who are looking at these athletes because they're put on to a high level and pay big money, and, you know, they sell tennis shoes outrageous. It's like, so now a child's aspiration to be, I want to be like that. I want to be an NBA star, you know, which is, but it's really entertainment. And I don't know the math, but like 1 out of 10,000 may make it to the NBA, you know. But it's, so it becomes a reality that's not based in it. It becomes the aspiration, I'm sorry, that's not based in reality. Just a little side personal note. I was so glad to hear, what's his name, Jokic, the superstar for the Denver Nuggets. I mean, I mean, he should be a model for all of our youth. This man was probably one of the best players on the planet. And when he won a championship, they were like, he was like so-so. He's like, okay, good, we won. Can we go home now? I'm done. This is a job.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, just a little side note. He kept it real. He kept it down to earth.
Right.
Hey, man, I want to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Because this is, I've seen, and I can respect this position. From there are Muslims who are in professional positions. We recognize the law of the land. We recognize the law of the land. Okay, so the person may be a teacher or a lawyer or like any profession, and they have to recognize this trans person. The person come in and they trans. How are they to deal with that? I mean, and the Muslim, you don't believe in that, but and we as imams, we have more freedom. We have more latitude to speak as we're speaking.
Right. Yeah.
But there are hundreds of thousands of Muslims who are in school systems, legal systems, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they treat the patient. The patient comes to me being whatever, LGBTQ. How do we...
Right.
Well, what were your comments on that?
Yes, sir.
Because go ahead.
Yes. In our field, you know, we respect nature. So when nature walks in the clinic, for example, I said nature, you're coming in there with your body and you're coming in there with your mind, your body and your mind. Now, if you do not respect your body, I'm going to respect your body even though you do not.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in other words, what I'm saying, if you come in there with a male body, but you're telling me you're a woman in that body, I can't deal with the woman in the body. I can deal only with your body because your body will not lie to me. Your body will tell me only what the laws of nature has been inscribed in its creation. Okay, so I'm treating the biological reality, and the mind itself is not living in accord with that reality, because that's the strangeness of it all, that the mind being so peculiar as a growth out of creation, but it still has the strange in the ability to reject the natural order. And this is what people have to understand. So me, I treat the body that nature gave me, that God put in that office. That's what I'm treating. I'm not interested in your mind unless you ask me a question for your thinking, then I'll respond to your thinking. Yeah, but I'm not going to attack somebody's mind. No, I'm not into that.
Right. Now, yeah. That's from, say, more of a medical field. But if a principal of a school, for example,
yeah.
we got yeah. multiple school politicians, right?
Yeah.
And they represent all the people. And person comes to
right.
them.
Okay. I see. Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Because, see, now, as a
right.
principal, by the law of the land, and person says this, says that, what's your advice to the Muslims who may
okay.
find themselves in this situation?
Right, right. You know, we had a problem down here in Florida. And the problem was you had a young male high school student wanted to go into the women's bathroom. Okay, now this
yeah,
is real.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, he's a male. He's got a penis. But he wants to go
mm-hmm.
into the woman's bathroom. What are the rights of the woman? See, people forget this.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say that
mm-hmm.
he has the right to say he's a woman. But what about the women who say he's not a woman and they don't want a male around them? I have
mm-hmm.
a wife. I don't want no man around my wife. I have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I have five daughters. I don't want
mm-hmm.
no man who's telling me in his mind he's imagining himself to be a woman. No, that's my wife, and those are my daughters. Back off, brother. Now, you go over there
mm-hmm.
with me, or either we'll make a different bathroom for you. That's being real. You are violating my rights as a man to protect my wife and my daughters. And I don't
mm-hmm.
care. No
mm-hmm.
governor, no mayor, no president is going to take that right away from me. I'm telling all your listeners. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Listen, the rose is a beautiful flower. Gives off a beautiful fragrance. But if it's a natural rose, it automatically has thorns. You just can't go
mm-hmm.
in there and grab that rose or any beautiful flower. It has protection. It has thorns.
Yeah, protection.
And the thorns
yes,
God put there as a sign of the man, that the role
mm-hmm.
of the man is to protect that beautiful woman. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So therefore, you have to draw the line. You see what I'm saying? And this is where the confusion
yes.
comes in the modern world. You know, oh, you're attacking another minority. No, 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 no. You are trampling on my rights as a husband. Okay? The men are the maintainers and the protectors of women. Now, I don't care what
mm-hmm.
you pass on a state legislature or what you pass on the United States Constitution. It is not above Scripture. It's not above the
yeah.
Torah. It's not above
mm-hmm.
the Bible. It's not above the Quran. And I support those other scriptures that came before the Quran in their pure and original writings.
Yes,
yeah.
sir. And let me take you one step
your
further because I'm taking the same point one step further.
Sure.
Their parents,
yeah.
they had been concerned, yet this guy is now wanting to be a girl. He wants to be on the girls' volleyball team, but he got the body of a man. Or he wanted
that's
to be on the
right.
girls' basketball team. And then they even asked a young lady who's the spokesperson for Joe Biden, President Joe Biden. And she got defensive.
Yeah.
She said, oh, you
of
call
course.
It trans dangerous. And I'm thinking in my mind, yes, they can be very dangerous because you don't let big children play with small children. Now, you got this guy 13, 14 years old. He got muscles of a 13, 14-year-old. And
yeah,
he
want to
play
sure.
basketball, volleyball, a wrestle even, you know.
Right.
Your daughter? No, as you said, as men, we have to say no. We have to defend. We have to
yeah.
defend. Yes. Okay.
And for
go
your
ahead.
Listeners, I want to say this to your listeners. The reason why the man has to take this position, and I want all of men to listen to this. You have to defend your woman because it was your mother who defended you when you couldn't defend yourself. She defended you
well,
when she carried you in her womb, and you were in a water sack, and blows could come up against that sack, and you were protected by the water environment, which means
yes,
what? As a sign of morality, that we lost the protection on the outside that we had on the inside. It was the water that protected us in the wombs of our mothers, and that same water should be protecting us out here after birth called morality. The waters
mm-hmm.
of morality is what
mm-hmm.
is what is missing. And what is
well,
happening,
you've been to
I just want to just make this for your listeners. Uh-huh.
Yes,
so
sir. Go ahead.
It just so happens that over a period of time, man gets off of the natural track and he loses his original behavioral nature and his original form. This is what we have to understand. What did you come in the world with? I'm sorry, please don't think I'm being vulgar. You came in the world with a pair of testicles and a penis, and then 20 years mm-hmm. later, 30 years later, you lose it. You understand? That's real. The woman, she comes here with mammary glands in order to give the new life a chance to develop. And later on, she loses at a whim. You see, this is the danger of so-called modern freedom that does not respect the original orientation of nature. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the precious
yes, sir.
Role for us is to guard and to work for and to support and to promote the establishment of the human person, the evolved human person. The way he came mm-hmm. in the world, let him keep all of those appendages and let it evolve with those appendages. If he had a penis and testicles, let him keep it. If she has the potential for mammary glands, let her teach him. You do not have the right to change that. God owns
Definitely.
The pattern on that. That's
mm-hmm.
God's pattern. If
you
go to change the Chevrolet,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if you go to change the Chevrolet and put your name on it, they're going to sue you.
You know, that reminds me of a point that we made last week. I think it's a good time to say
yes,
it again.
Sir.
There's a reason when teenage years come around, that's the reason why boys don't have menstrual cycles.
Right.
And
you
there,
said
and
that.
A reason,
thank you.
Yeah, and there's a reason why girls don't begin to grow beards and mustaches. Because
right.
that's not in their nature. I got two calls to be very
yes.
patient. But when we come back, because you mentioned about the responsibility of the men to stand up.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk
yes,
gonna talk about, I'm going to give my two callers first, but we're going to talk about, I'm going to ask you this question. Why are some imams not speaking up and speaking up? But
yes.
right now, we're going to take two of our callers. Call us from 914. Let me see. I'm sorry. Get it right. No. 314 was first. 314-833-49. Okay. Something like that. Yeah, that's my brother Mark Shaheed. Thank you for your patience, brother Mark. Can you
yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum yes. to you once again.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. And to your radio listening audience, I've been just sitting back and just listening. My children are going to do something for me a little bit later on here on Father's Day. I want to say happy Father's Day to both of you brothers and
thank
to those
you.
Who are listening into IWDM Radio. You know, man, if you two were baseball players, both of you all would be cleanup hitters because you've been hitting grand slams. Dr. Nasser and Imam McHale, y'all been hitting the ball out of the park. The base is loaded. So y'all are cleaning up this here, and this is what it is that we're supposed to do. And thank Imam McHale for
yes,
saying at the very beginning that this is an Islamic base, you know, communication. You call it conversation, but it's a communication because
mm-hmm.
you are given the correct information, and it's no better than what you give from Revelation. And Dr. Nasser, I love the analogy that you're given, but it's true. You know, you have to address the mind. The mind, everything that is like we're using the makeup and all of this for the physical, we have
mm-hmm.
to translate to the mind, you see.
Yes,
and when you go to the Quran, Allah says that shaitan makes wrong fair seeming, makes
right.
wrong fair seeming. And the word
yes,
wrong is a weak reality obtaining nothing good. He gives a weak reality obtaining nothing good. And
yes,
Imam
yes,
McHale, I had to commend
yes,
you on how you related that in terms of the creation and nature and also revelation in those three.
The science. Mm-hmm.
The science, yeah, science. That's nature, science,
mm-hmm.
revelation. Because you don't even have to
yes.
go to you know, you don't. I was smiling. I said, "Look at Imam McHale. You don't even have to go to Revelation.
That's
you correct. Could. You could just start. you could start with nature and science and
mm-hmm.
see
yes,
that." And one last point is that
mm-hmm.
Imam Muhammad. he said that the Quran is commentary on
right.
the scripture before it.
Correct.
It's commentary on that. It was an abomination in Revelation that preceded the Quran, and is still abomination in the Quran. The Quran confirms the truth that came before it, in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also makes the correction. So when Allah says he created us in pairs, ask yourself, this is nature-based logic. It's
yes.
always been male and female. It had never been male and male. And I don't know who gave that report, but they need to, as Law said, bring your proof if what you bring
there
is the
you
truth.
Go. Yes,
bring
sir.
Your proof. They can't
yes,
prove
mm-hmm.
that because
that's
a lot
right.
of this, you know, like in 3030s, he says that the pattern that the human being
yes.
was created, the same
yes.
pattern in
yes.
the creation, and don't change it.
Yes.
That's
don't
right.
change.
Change it.
Leave it as is.
Right.
I could say more, but I'll stop there because
yes,
I'm enjoying.
Right.
I'm enjoying
yes,
this. I'm taking some notes from both of you two to keep on getting those, hitting the ball out of the park. Clean up this, you know, this mess. But it's more than a conversation, brother Imam. This is
yes,
communication
sir.
For correct information, and know
right.
that you get your true picture. From true scripture. As-salamu alaykum.
That's right.
Wa
alaykum as-salam.
Yeah, let me say something real fast, real quick, what's on my mind. Because you know, I keep hearing the word makeup. And this is no offense to people who wear makeup, but it is a little wisdom,
right.
I think. You know, when a person, you know, you can make up a lie, but you can't make up truth.
Right.
Right.
That's
right. That's
okay.
right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and so when a person put on makeup, because they got men wearing makeup now, they're trying to be other than what God made them.
Right.
And
come
that's
on
a
now.
Lie.
That's right.
So,
right. That's right.
Now, they don't say that you wear a lie on your face. So,
right.
So they make it soft, and they say you wear makeup, but a lie is a makeup.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
the same for our nature.
Yes.
They put
that's
a lie.
That's right.
Yes.
They put a lie on that. Yes, sir.
Brother Imam, Dr. Nasser Ahmed said
yes,
it real good in that word biological. You,
right.
you know, you can say whatever, my uncle used to say, you can make your mouth say whatever you want to say, but your body will always tell the
yes.
truth.
Yeah, you're
biological.
Absolutely.
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to say this, yeah, to a lot of listeners. We're sharing the position of all of the prophets, even though we say Muhammad is the last, but he represents Noah, Moses, and if they were alive, they would be talking the same way we're talking. They would be standing
yes.
up on the body's truth, the truth of nature. And for the
yes,
listeners,
right.
you know, we talk about freedom and equality and liberty. But let me tell you this. Imam Muhammad helped us. He said, liberty is not something that you're supposed to be grabbing at. You know, you don't go out and grab liberty. In other words, when you were growing and you were an infant, you didn't go out and grab teenagers. When you were a teenager, you didn't go out and grab adulthood. You naturally
mm-hmm.
evolved into it. And this
mm-hmm.
is what I'm trying to help the listeners to understand. You naturally evolved to these things. But what's happening in the culture, these people are grabbing an identity. That lets you know it's false when you have to grab it from the inside. From the outside to bring it to the inside. When you are supposed to evolve into these things naturally, you evolve from a fetus. You evolve from an infant. You evolve from a teenager. You evolve
mm-hmm.
into an adult. You don't reach it on the outside and bring it on the
mm-hmm.
inside. No. You evolve
mm-hmm.
into it from the internal. And listen,
you know,
this is liberation talk for the people in the gay community. This is not bashing you. You should be loving the Muslims talking to you homosexuals. Like, you should say, my goodness, I never thought about it like that. These people really
yes,
do
sir.
Love us. We love the human being that God made. He can be deceived like Adam was
mm-hmm.
deceived. Adam was
mm-hmm.
tricked, and all of his children are being tricked right now. Okay,
so
but then truth can't, okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You got to make your point.
Yeah. And just as Adam was tricked, Adam received a word and he corrected his deception. And so this is the same thing we're doing now. Just as our first father was tricked in the Islamic religion, he reformed because he received a word. And this is what we're doing. We're giving correct information so the human being can look in the mirror of his own conscience. Just like you have a mirror on the wall, you have a mirror inside your body, and it's called conscience. And you have to look in your conscience and see the real you and the artificial you that somebody put in there. Yes.
Thank you.
And
you know,
I'm thankful.
What you're saying,
I'm very thankful.
Alhamdulillah, faith be to God.
Yes,
so what you're saying, yes, I know one you can really bear witness to better than I can. I learned this from my dentist, that all 32 of your teeth, you're born with them. I'm like,
yes,
I am? Because when I asked her, I asked her a question about when your first set of teeth fall out, when your first set of teeth fall out, the way the other comes, she said, you're born with them. Then I'll talk. He said, when a baby, a female child is born, the second it come out, before it come out of the womb, all the eggs are already there. You know, so we evolved with the teeth or the eggs or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Allah, through nature, has put it in us. So what, the point, I'm trying to reiterate what you just said. Then our mind may be misguided. Then we want to grab outside of the nature Allah gave us and try
like makeup,
we're going to try to put something outside of us on us that wasn't there original. And that's the point that we're making here.
Exactly.
And for those who want to say, I heard some people say, it's so-called learning, where God, God put them in their own body. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you saying that God made a mistake? Or are you saying that God made me this way? You know, are you ready to say that on Judgment Day? That God made a mistake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we got a couple
and
of calls.
And that's the problem.
Here, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the problem. Most people, they do wrong. Why do they do wrong? Because the punishment is not immediate. If the punishment was immediate, none of us would do wrong.
That's right.
But the punishment is 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years later, you see? And that's why too many people will do the wrong, because the punishment is not immediate.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's not like sticking your finger in an electric socket. You stick your finger in an electric socket, you don't have to wait. It's instant.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to go to our next call, and then we're going to come back to that question, Phil. The question that we, why are some Muslim leaders, or maybe even some Muslim organizations who are siding with the gay community? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Let me get my caller here for 914. 914, I've been so patient. I'm going to bring them on right now. Caller for 914. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your succinct comment, please?
Yes, this is Muhammad calling Mount Vernon, New York. As-salamu alaykum.
My brother.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yeah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll say one word off the subject. That is, I know in Florida they had a Juneteenth celebration, and here in New York.
Yes, sir.
Hall of New York had the 30th Juneteenth celebration.
That's congratulations, and thank you.
Yeah, you're quite welcome right now.
Yes, sir.
Now, I guess now, a couple of some of the things I want to mention. I know sometimes you're growing up, you see a child 6, 7 years old, a boy who likes to play with dolls.
Right.
Or you may see a girl, she likes to play with toys, cars and trains, things like this.
Yeah.
And you see this early.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, how do we, that's it. If you said it's back, you know, back in, well, let me go something else. The previous caller had called in earlier. He said, but you can't change this thing going with this alphabet, LGBTQ and all that.
Right. Right.
You can't change it. Now, thinking on that, this happened way back you know, when Sodom and Gomorrah, now that deviant thing going on even before Sodom and Gomorrah. Look how long Allah probably let that go on before he destroyed them.
Right.
And then they're speaking about the politician. I think that was the last question. Why? Well, you know, whenever a country or a community thing goes into real serious problems, I mean, they don't call on politicians. They call on the knowledgeable people in Scripture.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes. And when they get into very serious problems, yes, where they're about to lose the life of the nation, then they start praying for God. Like down here in Florida, when we had all of those storms a few years back, the governor said, mm-hmm. "Let us pray to God." You're absolutely right, brother. He was the Governor Bush, and everything was going bad, and it didn't look like things was going to work itself out. That man got on statewide television and did exactly what you said. When the nation is on its knees, it will then call on God. And we're trying to prevent it from getting to that point with this conversation.
Yes, sir. Let me just say something before you say that, because this may fit in.
Yes, sir.
He makes about a 6-7-year-old boy play with dolls and a 6-7-year-old girl play with boys things. There's a movement afoot in many of the schools that are catching those 6- or 7-year-olds. And that some teachers, not all, are telling the boy, I think that's that you're a girl inside. And they're telling the girl the opposite. I mean, these are teachers telling students this, and you know, and parents are having a fit because by the time they find out about it, who knows how much they told their child. So I just want to get that in before you respond.
Sure.
Go ahead, please.
Sure. Look, you know, there's a nature that's universal in human beings. Say like the nature to pound on something, you know, to beat on something. That nature is in every human being. No matter what culture you are in the world, that nature to pound on something is there. So if you take that nature in Africa to pound on it, you find him pounding on metal. If you take that nature to Greece, you won't find him pounding on a piece of metal necessarily. He's going to pound on concrete. You see what I mean? So it's how that nature is expressed. So the little girl that's playing with boy toys, what we would call boy toys, is just a matter of her being an engineer. She's a mechanic. That's not masculine. That's a mechanical trait. That don't mean she's a man. It means she's a trait. Mm-hmm. You know, like in my profession, it was strange to have female oral surgeons, right? The oral surgeon was all men 40, 50, 100 years ago. But now, recently, you have more women. So the trade or the trait is not masculine or feminine. It's a universal trait. Finds itself expressed in anybody. Again, the problem is language. Nobody knows how to bring the correct language. And Satan, he knows this, but he doesn't want these conversations in the public. So it's going to make the people question what he's been telling them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Universal traits. Yes. Okay. And
so with the, again,
but I'm just gonna
the problem. The problem is when you give the natural life from the womb, when you give that life something artificial, and then you impose that upon that first natural life, then it is strange to that first natural life. And what's going to happen? That's going to register in the life, and then that life is going to become confused. You see, the male, he stands up when he passes his urine. The female, she sits down when she passes her urine. I'm just using this real simple. When you tell them the opposite, you're confusing the individual. You know, I do not have eggs. I cannot become pregnant. I do not have monthly courses, as Imam Sahih said. Now, this is reality. This is not a lie. This is not television. Okay? And you confuse me when you tell me I'm a woman. And I look at my mother and I look at my sisters and I don't have the anatomy that they have. But I did see my sisters when they were naked and when I was naked, and we looked totally the opposite. And as a child, mm-hmm. I saw the difference. And then you're going to tell me I'm like my sister? You have confused mm-hmm. me. Yes.
So what you're saying, and I like what
yes,
you're
sir.
Saying, is that somebody who's already here have a misunderstanding about the sexual roles. They see a little boy
yes.
playing with dolls, then they would cute. Then they would put into that boy's head that he's gay.
Yeah.
Because they
yeah,
got to
they
understand.
Yeah. They put it in his head. Right.
And the child, this boy or girl, 6, 7 years old, 10 years old, had no defense. They're like, what do you say?
Yeah, he has no defense. That's right. And,
so,
and look, let me say this to you.
Let
me tell you the other way to look at it, the natural way to look at that situation. The little boy playing with the child. He's probably going to be a gynecologist. He's probably going to be a doctor, a male doctor that delivers babies. See, that's the natural way to look at it. Not that he's a homosexual,
mm-hmm.
but instead of him being a plumber or electrician, he's going to be a gynecologist. You see,
good
now
point.
That's a healthy
yeah.
perspective. Now you can help that child, and he doesn't have to have a conflict in identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A law like that. So you have given him an honorable
yeah.
choice in life. Yeah, young
yes,
boy,
sir.
You're going to be a woman doctor. Woo, you're going to be a great doctor. Save the lives
mm-hmm.
of many women. Boy, look here, what you have done for that child.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than
yes.
tell him a lie that he's a woman
mm-hmm.
in a boy's body. Oh, no, that's the worst thing you could do to a child.
Yes, it is. Or vice versa. To tell the girl that he's a boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so call 914. You can press 1 on your phone. That will help me to know that we have answered your call. Before going to our next call, 773, hold on, please. Email Nasser. Why are we witnessing some emails, and I say this much, even some of our email Muhammad who are reluctant to speak out and give a clear, sober, rational conversation on the topic of LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Why are they,
yeah.
what have you found
yeah.
the reason to be reluctant?
Yeah, I've talked with some of them, and they gave me a good answer. One answer they gave me is they are not current on the position. And I accepted. I saw, yeah, great answer. And then the second response they gave me, they are not that conversant even with the religion. Where to find it in the Quran? Where to find it in Hadith? I said, wow, that is another good answer. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last
mm-hmm.
answer they gave me, they weren't familiar with the imam's position, you know, on his commentary over the years, of which we have a ton of that information. So I told him, if you ask me, I will get it to you in writing, and I'll get it to you in sound and also in video. So at least you can
mm-hmm.
have that. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a person is not held accountable if he doesn't have knowledge. But once you have knowledge, you are held accountable. And if you were in the Nation of Islam, what we were taught in Elijah Muhammad's days, I was there. We were taught
mm-hmm.
the civilized person is responsible for teaching
mm-hmm.
the uncivilized. That was
That's
our
right.
teaching. Yeah, back in the days of the nation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Quran,
mm-hmm.
for some people who may not know, it says,
arise
and warn. This is the Quran. Arise, stand up, and warn. Warn. You know, admonish people. It's in Quran. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in Quran,
so,
there's positions. Yeah. There's positions against this gender problem. It's specifically in the Quran. So sometimes if we need a special seminar session for our leaders, we need to set that up. And then they can ask us questions. Where can we find this in Quran? Where can we find this in the Hadith? Maybe that will help. And I give them the benefit of the doubt because my good friend in Philadelphia, Mikhail Shabazz, had mentioned that to me. And I said, okay, I can
mm-hmm.
see that point. And I had to accept it. I had to accept it. And I appreciate him telling me that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but I know for me,
I'm
going to be held accountable because I know better scientifically, naturally, and religiously. It will be no excuse for me. It'll be pure fire for me if I stay silent.
Well,
I'll
now,
be a good hot dog.
Can what you're bringing me to is what I've heard when it comes to, like, mental health.
Yes.
Organ donations.
Right.
What's the other one? Mental health organization. Oh, donor organs, and et cetera.
Right.
So is it upon the imams? This is, I'm thinking out loud, but it's upon the imams to say that I must see what's popular in the environment, if it's LGBTQ, mental health, whatever.
Right.
And because the people who I teach on Fridays or Talims, they are confronted with all these social concerns.
Correct.
So is it upon the imam to say, I must step out of these four walls in this masjid and educate myself?
Yeah.
Or I must go, because it's all in Imam Muhammad's commentary, all over the internet. You can go find it. Any type of you want, you can check it and get it.
That's
Is it on the membership of these communities?
Yeah.
Encourage the imam or push the imam. And then lastly,
are
some imams afraid to go against the grain because they just don't have the more courage, or they may lose financial support? It is those factors also holding back imams from doing what we should do.
Right. And, you know, we have to take that question to the scripture, to the Quran. And Allah says in the Quran, there are some men who fear men as they should fear me. And this is what we imams have to be reminded of, because we're supposed to believe in the day of judgment, meaning that we're going to pass away, we're going to be resurrected, and our God is going to ask us, why did you not speak my message to humanity? And we're going to have to answer for our failure, our fears that I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my income, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my prestige, you know what I mean? Fear people finding fault with me. You see what I mean? These are all tests for leaders, not just religious leaders, but political leaders, and most of them fail the test. Truth, you know, exposes too many of us that we do not have the courage to stand up for truth. You see? And so it's a good thing because it shows me I thought I was a man until this situation came up. And all of a sudden I find out that I'm a coward. I didn't know that before the situation presented itself. So I'm thankful to God for presenting a situation so that I could correct myself before I die.
Well,
and I'm saying this to all your listeners. All of us are going to die. All of us are going to be resurrected. I don't care who you are, what your religious faith is, and you're going to have to answer to your creator for what you did and what you did not do.
We'll have a question
and
on
God
that
is going to use, God is going to use your book, and the book that God's going to judge you by is not the book on a library shelf or in a law court. God is going to use the book of your memory. God's going to use the book of your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. He's going to make you have 100% recall on everything you said and everything you did and even what you intended to do.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have 100%. And just for example, let me say to you, listen, please. You know, dear listeners, sometimes if you say like you're 30, 40 years old, and you may say, I don't believe in that. Well, you know, sometimes a music song can come on, and as that song is playing, you start singing along with it, and your mind can go back to when you were 17 years old, and you can remember the situation you were in by that song. So God has given you a sign in a day in the future, you're going to have 100% memory of what you did and what you said. That is very scary, brother, to me, and that's what checks my behavior. And I'm just saying this as a good friend, and I'm thankful to the man that told me this, because I was unaware. I was, you know, acting against my good common sense and my parents' teachings. I had beautiful parents, and I went darling or straying a little bit. But then this man came and dropped this wisdom on me like this. I'm talking about Imam W.D. Muhammad, and brought me back to my senses. And I like to see the hand of any man who ain't going to die. Please show me your hand. If you're not going to die, I need to meet you.
Maybe I'll do something wrong and not repent. Okay, I'm going to push this a little bit further on the imams. And not just an association, just because there are other Muslim organizations around the country. They soften on the position because they don't want to appear to be in line with the races, or they said, well, the gay community, they stood with us on Islamophobia. Therefore, we want to, we're going to defend them because they defended us. And the other one
right.
is, the tied in with that, do we equate, or do we, how do you write it down? Go back to my notes. Yes. Should we align or equate the LGBTQ effort with the African-American struggle that's been going on for 400 years? Do we say, okay, well, they, you know, is there one and the same? So I asked you two questions about imams or leaders, Muslim leaders that were afraid to speak out because he said, I don't want to seem like I'm siding with the racists. Let's just deal with that one first. That I got two calls
yeah.
I want to get to. But go ahead, please.
Okay.
So
yeah.
what should we do
okay.
as emails or leaders?
Now, I'm going to speak to our generation when we had the
mm-hmm.
Black Panthers and Stokely Carmichael and all those guys, right? And we had the Nation
okay.
of Islam. So we had two different approaches towards freedom. And then you had the civil rights. You had Elijah Muhammad with a movement. Then you had Martin Luther King with a movement,
mm-hmm.
Stokely Carmichael. So you had three distinct movements. I'm just using that as an example. They
yes,
did
sir.
Not merge with each other. They kept their individual identity as a group. They kept their collective identity group separate from the others, though the cause was the same. They kept their distinction,
mm-hmm.
again, like the fingerprint, you know. And I remember going to rallies. And when we would go to civil rights rallies, what we would call civil rights back in the day, in the crowd
mm-hmm.
were murderers. In the crowd were drug pushers supporting the civil rights movement. You understand what I'm trying to say? But those
mm-hmm.
people were not in the leadership. They wouldn't stand next to Martin Luther King. Here's Martin Luther King, but here's a drug pusher, known drug pusher. Here's a murderer, known murderer. Now, would he stand next to Martin Luther King together? No, because the differentiation of the moral imperative caused the delineation or the ability to separate, you know? And for your listeners, they might not understand if I don't use this example. If you send your child to the store and ask her to bring you back some chicken, your child, if they're too young, they'll go to the meat section, but they don't understand the difference between chicken and beef and lamb. They'll probably bring
mm-hmm.
you some pork back. So they brought you pork, but it was the wrong type of meat. And so there's a differentiation between lamb, chicken, beef, et cetera, and pork. So likewise it is with movements. What movement is purely humane? And what
mm.
movement has the tendency to be anti-humane, that would be harmful
mm-hmm.
to your humanity in the long run? You see? And this is where
yes,
the problem
sir.
Comes in. Yeah. The problem is not the human rights movement. The problem, dear listeners, is choice. And a choice is not the same as a right. And this is the biggest problem to get this over into people's understanding. The human right is universal. Choices is not universal. If you choose to smoke a cigarette, it's not universal. If you choose to drink alcohol, it's not universal. You see? And this is what we have to understand. And this is what we have to focus more on, human rights
yes, sir.
As opposed to choice, lifestyle
yes, sir.
Choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Thank
and then
you very
once
much.
People start to see that clarity, yeah, it'll be easier for them.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. See, they're confused that they're human beings. We agree they're humans, yeah, but it's the lifestyle mm-hmm. choice that's the problem, not their humanity.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Now that's an important point that you know, make often. As human beings, you can be LGBTQ or whatever. You still have human rights.
Right.
But you said that's a choice being made there too, and that's the distinction that we're making. People make choices.
Yeah.
As human beings,
yes.
as human beings, the right to live, work, be promoted, drive a car. Whatever you may be, you know,
right.
or whatever gender you identify with, that's a human right.
Right.
But to say
right.
that these are natural rights, that's where we as Muslims have the issue. Caller
right.
here from 773. Caller from 773. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your question or succinct comment, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
I'm Shakira, Chicago, Illinois. Blessed Father's Day to you all.
Thank you. I am glad
I was able to get on. I want to first say this is something that needed to be discussed, and wanted to kind of get back to the topic. But first, I want to give some advice that might be helpful as we go on in the future with our young people and encouraging marriage and to have children.
Yes.
Imam Dr.
Yes.
Nasser, congratulations, 40 grandchildren. That's a great blessing because we're not encouraging a lot of our Muslims. And
yes.
I'm understanding
yes, ma'am.
This is a conversation for the Muslims. We're not encouraging
yes,
ma'am. That enough to do this.
Yes, ma'am.
Last week we talked about saving ourselves and our children from
yes,
the fire. So I'm going to want to comment on that for a minute, that that's what all of us,
sure.
because we came in this time as imams and their, why not this, but this is a human concern.
Yes.
First, I'll say it like this, because if we have same sex for encouraged continuously, then the human race does not continue.
Right.
Biology teaches us that all living things, and I'm not trying to, because we have to educate ourselves. We talk about biology, we talk about science. And we had Dr. Montez, that was the director here at in Chicago, Sister Clara Muhammad School, and he had defined science as the study of creation, God's creation,
mm-hmm.
Allah's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get science. We have to look at what has been in a pattern of creation first.
Yeah.
So
yes, ma'am.
Raising children, Allah bless me with four. I came to them naturally. You teach each one, you know, you teach them about the body, each part of
yes,
the body
ma'am.
And what they use for, and then the children. But unfortunately, we have to go further and say, because we have had language, information that kind of frowned up on when it comes down to the sexual organs, we hesitate when we talk about sex. So I used to just tell my children, oh, well, that's a natural thing, just like it is eating. There's a time, there's a purpose, and
mm-hmm.
for everything. And I think these are the kind
mm-hmm.
of conversations that we have to have. When the brother had mentioned about playing, the young boys playing with dolls, and,
right.
you know, it was said that maybe they're going to be this. But isn't a father going to help take care of the baby? So that's natural first.
Very good.
Because
very
the toy,
good.
All the toys
right.
we use is supposed to be helping teach the children something that they're going to need in their future.
Yes.
So those are the,
mm-hmm.
some of the natural things that I'm looking at as we talk about
mm-hmm.
what Muslims to teach their
yes,
children
excellent point. Yes,
about
excellent point.
These different things. And we have to understand the schemes of Satan.
Yes.
Satan
mm-hmm.
is going to always, so when we just keep it natural for our children.
Mm-hmm.
We tell them the natural things, and when they have questions, come to them and tell the truth about
yes.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had another concern.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much time I have, but we mentioned about the Constitution. We have to keep studying and know what's given and stop listening to everything that comes up, because we talked about creating or making up a lie. Unfortunately,
yes,
what's happening now is we not continuing to educate ourselves on language and what it is. We talk about the Constitution mm-hmm. of the United States, and this is my right.
Mm-hmm.
It is only your right as long as it don't infringe upon my right.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. they left that out. They used to say that.
Right.
We
very
talk
good.
About.
They say that again now? Wait a minute. They got to say it again. It's a
oh,
right into what
it,
now?
You got it.
Yeah. She says something.
The
now.
Right of the Constitution. You know, they'll say this is my right to be
mm-hmm.
this. But your right only comes if it does not infringe upon
exactly.
my right.
Yes.
This
mm.
has always
yes.
been taught until recently, and I've known, with, I've seen within the few, about within 5 years' time, if you
mm-hmm.
notice the language is changing, the law
yes.
that's law is becoming something else. And I'm just going to throw this out. Now, my intention was to look this up, but it used to be against the law, and it still probably is, you could not mutilate your body.
Yes, you're right.
If you
they
get an operation
that's right.
to
that's
become
right.
Another sex, you're mutilating your body. And
that's
it used
right.
to be against the law. I don't know if it still is. So that's what I'm saying, that we
yeah.
have to keep abreast of what the conversations are. They
yes,
are
ma'am.
Giving us things that does not make any sense. And this is what
mm-hmm.
I always tell my children, my students, and everybody. Whatever you reason out, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him,
yes,
came
ma'am.
To a logical conclusion. And I think that's been the conversation continuously, that you use your mind, and logically, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Your organs, every part of your body is used for certain things. Keep it simple. They have the saying, KISS, keep it simple.
That's
simple.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
Everything simple. So now
yes,
I want to go back, and I don't, and I am a real, idea real, and I think this is what Allah gives us, that a lot of times we have problems, and I pray real hard about, you know, saying, I always say Bismillah, and Imam Muhammad told us when we say Bismillah, we call Allah in to help us, then
right.
he'll take over for us.
Mm-hmm.
About Muslims, sometimes we talk problems that exist other places, and we forget that the same problems that's plaguing society affects us also.
Mm-hmm.
We have
that's true.
Within the Muslims these same problems that we are discussing about what do we tell our children, and they looking at us
right.
because
right.
they know that they have a sister so-and-so and a brother so-and-so that's having these same kind of situations.
Right.
But
right.
we're not talking about it. So
yeah.
we have to be real. We talk about saving ourselves, saving. We talk about being Muslim to obey Allah's will. Everybody
yeah.
has problems. These urges came into us sneaking like the devil sneaks and do everything. He deframes what Allah has given us. So we have
yes,
to
ma'am.
Understand that. And we have to be careful who we let teach our children.
Yeah.
Now, I have
Sister
to
Shakira,
really say
that
because I always.
Sister Shakira.
Yes, sir.
I think you're saying something, and I want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly.
Yes, sir.
That you said we had the same problems with some who are Muslim, and that would include LGBTQ. So there are some Muslims that may be inclined that way, and you're saying that our children or sensitive to this person being inclined that way, but as a community, we're not saying anything. Am I
hearing yes, sir, that's what I'm saying. And it's been around for a long time. We have to understand
right.
that the devil
right.
don't want what Allah has given
that's
us.
Right.
So he will put awesome it level. Among us, and if we don't say anything, and our children
yes.
saying it, and if we uphold wrong, and this is a conversation about this particular topic. And we want to, you know, make sure we keep focused, because this is a hot topic in popular culture that our children face with. Not only our children, but the adults also. The adults are being influenced by this also. I know, and I was, I don't, this is secondhand information, that on Facebook, one of the young sisters, had pictures, well, the mother had put them on Facebook, that she was kissing another woman. We know that her as being a Muslim. And the mother put it on there that's a Muslim. So these are the kind of conversation that if we don't deal with, and this is, to me, what we are addressing now. What do we tell our Muslim children about these things? And if we don't address it within the whole and put it like it's only a problem for someone else, we have to be real and let our children know these problems affect us too, because it's a human problem. Everything that's human, first, we are human. Then our genders come into play. So that's what I have to say, and may Allah continue to bless us.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. You are exactly right. Follow up?
Oh, yes. First of all, I want to thank her, and may Allah continue to bless her so that she can help the whole of humanity in whatever way she can. And she's absolutely right. You know, in the Quran, it says, as we were mentioning earlier, the question came up, said, why do we have to preach? You know, I'm paraphrasing this phrase in the Quran. Why do you have to teach? It is because to defend humanity. Most people are like children, even the adults that she pointed out, and they're innocent and unsuspecting. And it is the powerful media, by being in a position on TV, it is suggesting that this is the truth, just simply by you being on television. You know, when I was training in medical school, you would have the real doctors, and then you would have the student doctors, but everybody was dressed alike. The student doctor, you call them residents, they would have on the same jacket as the actual teaching doctor. You see what I mean? Now, you, the patient sitting in the bed, you thinking all of them are real licensed doctors. No. Only one is a licensed doctor, and everybody else is wannabe doctors. So that's the problem with the media. Most people think that everything you see on the media, because the media is giving this approval, tacit or overt, that homosexuality is acceptable behavior, you know, we have to let them know that the original human nature is immutable, you know, and that there are sacred roles of male and female, the sacred roles of the husband and the wife by way of gender, you know, and we have to speak that. We have to say that in the public, because our function is to defend the mind, not necessarily the body. It's the mind that we're defending. Yes.
If I may, let me ask you a question. This happened to me a couple of years ago. A young lady called to the masjid. Called to the masjid. And she didn't know to be upfront that she was lesbian. And I didn't handle a problem with that. She said she wanted to become Muslim. And I said, well, yeah, you can become Muslim. And she mentioned about being lesbian. I said, well, in Islam, we don't recognize that, but you can still come and become a Muslim. You know, I let her know you want to become a Muslim. You can.
Yeah.
I mean, but long story short, I mean that she got upset. She hung up on me. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't take both. I mean, I wouldn't take both.
Right.
But right. I said that to get back to what Sister Shakira was saying.
Yeah.
Things, there are realities that, If it's in the atmosphere in the general society, as Muslims, we can't not be naive and not think those influences are not coming right into the minds of people who we see every day at Juma. And I say it this way, too. I know all those rap songs out there with all the cussing, niggers, bitches, and all that.
Right.
I bet
right.
you most of them listen to, you know, all them words to all them songs. You know, yeah, they know Fatiha.
Yeah, of course.
So that
yes.
what's in the atmosphere, I think it was the secure getting to. What's in the general atmosphere, we all human, she said it.
Right.
What's in the general atmosphere is going to come through the doors of the masjid. How do we deal with that? If it, what she was saying, our children are not dumb, and they see it. And they say, well, they allow this in the masjid now because
right.
the grown folks are not saying anything.
Right.
How do we
right.
deal with that, please?
Yeah, with you, your question and her question is the same. And again, it's mm-hmm. answered in our religion. Muhammad the Prophet, he said, if you are silent, your silence is approved. So if
mm-hmm.
somebody say, can I rob a bank, and you say nothing, the fact that you say nothing, you are telling that person it's okay. Now, this is the Prophet saying it. Your silence is approval. So
mm-hmm.
if a man had a daughter and somebody came and asked if he could marry the daughter, and the daughter said said nothing, then the man can interpret from his daughter that she approved the marriage proposal. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
here's another problem for human beings. The nature of imitation, to copy something, is
mm-hmm.
natural for human beings. But it's not unique for human beings. And the thing about copying or imitation is the fact that for the human, he has a greater capacity to do it than any other creature. You know, and if you
mm-hmm.
have animals, they call it imprinting. They call it imprinting. You know, where the animal will follow you around. If you get around that animal young enough and its natural mother is not around, that animal will follow you around as though you are its parent. And this
mm-hmm.
is the point that I'm trying to make, that the same thing happens in human nature. You can have an artificial parent if your natural parent is nowhere around because of the nature to imitate. That's a nature. And so when we come into this world innocent, like empty vessels from the wombs
mm-hmm.
of our mothers, it is this culture that begins to fill us up with its mind that too often
mm-hmm.
is corrupt. And from the
mm-hmm.
time that all of us are born, we're breathing in, just as you mentioned and she mentioned, ideas from the culture. Just like we breathe in air, we breathe in ideas. And too
yes,
many
sir.
Mothers and fathers have forgotten how to be parents. You know,
so,
this is the problem.
We can say that we are at war with ideology.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're definitely at war.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, all right.
Yeah, the last war, you know, the first,
Go ahead.
War was man throwing rocks at each other. Then the next war,
mm.
man was throwing spears at each other. Then the next war, man was throwing bullets at each other. Then the next war, man was dropping bombs at each other. The last war is the war of ideas. Thank you, Imam.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. That's the greatest war. The war for the minds of the human being. Nobody cares about
mm-hmm.
you losing bodies. It's the mind.
Okay, I'm going to go to my next caller here. My next caller from 423. Thank you for your patience, 423. Thanks for calling Words. Well, wait a minute. Here he is. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? Question will be
from Brother Kabir from Baptist, Indiana.
Yes, sir, Brother Kabir. Yes, sir.
Sir, I apologize to you, brothers, and but not to
him
for your recovery.
Thank you.
First, once again, by seeking refuge with Allah from claiming to reject the enemy, and again with the name of Allah, Mercy, Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer. recently I worked at an adolescent drug rehabilitation center, and the clients were anywhere from 12 to 17 years old. And in the intake, every now and then, a client would come in from the LGBTQ community.
Right.
And they would come in under their birth name that they was given at birth. But when they would come in, they would tell the staff that they wanted to be referred to the name that they chose for themselves, being under that orientation, being lesbian or homosexual. And they would order the staff, the technicians, that when we addressed them, to address them by the name that they chose for themselves. And if you didn't, you would get reprimanded, or they would complain to the governing staff, you know, that you were not using the name that they had chosen, except for the name that they had on their paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had the gay Pride Month, you know, you had a lot of the clients that was in their right mind didn't agree with having to participate. They would make them participate in whatever activities that they had going on to celebrate the month.
So yes.
I wanted to know if, you know, a Muslim child or any child was in a situation where there was someone over authority over them, and they would have these type of celebrations coming on, if they was made to forced to participate, you know, what advice would you give them on how to deal with that type of situation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Ma'am, you know what you're saying. What
yes.
you're saying was that, now, there, I read an article, you know, it was supposed to end up in Canada, right, and it was
uh-huh.
addressing that they were making the Muslim children, of all the children, and therefore the Muslim children draw a rainbow before they can go outside for recess or
yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah.
So there are, and
yeah.
I did not vet that report, but it seemed to be a pretty reliable source.
Right.
Go ahead, Brother Mel.
Yeah. You know, like in medicine, to give you an example, again, going back to nature, can you imagine a patient, me having a patient, and the patient gives me his name. It's not his legal name. Now imagine this. And then I go with the name he gives me. And we're getting ready to do surgery on this person. Now, you have to listen to what I'm saying. I'm giving a real-life scenario. Okay, we do the surgery on the patient. And then his family comes, his real natural family. And they're looking for him in the hospital. But he's registered under the false name that he wasn't born under. And he didn't get it legally changed. And then the nurses find out later on who he really is. Now they are confused. What medicine do we give this guy or this woman? So when it gets to that kind of particular situation, you don't have to call them by that name. Me, if it's not changed legally, I call them by their birth name. Now, you know, people can change their names legally, but that's legal. But if they're minors, then it's the parents' responsibility. You see? Yeah. So the adults are responsible for the child as far as the law is concerned. The child is not over the parent until they're 18 or 21. And that's it. When it comes to patients, this is the way I treat my patients. You want to sue me? Knock yourself out. I'm not changing. Okay? This is the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just being influenced, and you're being a teenager. And that's what you're supposed to do. Teenagers are going to act like that in a corrupt culture. So we should expect that. But we, as the adults, as supervisors in drugs and other health rehab, or in academic settings, we should always hold on to the moral and ethical position. You see? There's an ethical issue at stake here. Mm-hmm. Not just simple morals, but morals have to evolve. And when morals evolve, they become ethics, like you have in the Congress, right? Called the Ethics Committee, where they judge the actions of business, of economics, international trade, all under ethical disposition, what we would call religious disposition. So you can't get away from it, you know. So that's the way I handle it, if you want a piece of advice. I handle it this way. It's not legal, so therefore I don't have to call you about it. And most importantly, you cannot force me to participate in your holiday. You're infringing upon my rights, as our dear sister said earlier. You have that right only until you violate my rights. Okay, therefore, then I'm exonerated. I'm free. You can't make me do nothing. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. But now I think that's where the argument comes in, because it's your supervisor, in best case about the Kabir situation. Your supervisor is going to write you up, and so the amount of reprimands you're going to be fired because you didn't call a person by a name that they say. And if they can make up a name on Monday, they can come up with a whole different name. You say,
That's the whole point. And then the supervisor needs to be informed of his the employee's rights.
Okay.
You know, you have to let that supervisor know that I have the right and I can sue you for abuse. Yeah.
Okay.
For participating, in falsehood. Yeah. If you knowingly do something to a person and you know that this is not the right person, you can be sued. I'm telling you the truth. This is not guesswork I'm talking about. In my field, you do something wrong to a patient, that's a lawsuit.
Yes,
even
sir.
If the patient wants it, that's a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But, Kabir, you have a follow-up before we move on to our next topic, our next focus? Okay. No,
yes, we lost him.
Let's talk about,
yes, sir.
No. He's on mute. But we're going to move on.
Yes,
sir. Okay. Talking to our children by nature, the natural way. Life, sexual life. If you go talk just plain sense to them, and I think it was since we were at war with ideologies, etc. The natural digestive system, right? So you put food in your mouth, you chew it. The natural process of your body is to now allow you to swallow. It goes down esophagus, stomach, out the intestines, right? Okay. The anus. That's a natural one-way street. If we teach our children about nature, then why would we allow to be in an atmosphere that a sex act can go against that natural direction that God made for food, to begin with from chewing it to elimination? We're talking about, you know, this is a conversation for our youth, for our children. How soon do we begin teaching our children those things of the natural way? You want to ask you there? Oh, I think he may have dropped again. Wait a minute, I messed up. I do apologize.
You
on mute the whole time. So how do we begin to teach our children the natural, how early of an age do we begin to teach them?
Right.
Just common sense.
Yeah.
Even, you know, because we're at war.
Most people, they don't realize that the human being is born twice. We usually say we have one birthday. Yeah, you have one birthday for your body, but the second birthday is for your mind. We know when the body is born, but we do not know when the mind is born. None of us know that. When did you first start thinking? So the minute the human being comes into this world, he's thinking, he's observing, he's being taught by every natural thing in the environment. So since the sun is teaching him, the wind is teaching him, the cold is teaching him, the hot is teaching him, then we need to talk to that child as soon as they come in this world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When do they learn language? As soon as they hear it in the environment. You speak English all around that child. He's 1 minute old and he's hearing English or French or whatever it may be. So the same thing. We teach those concepts as early as possible. The child can handle it. God has given a human being a brain to digest the universe. You know, some animals are meat animals, carnivorous animals. Some animals are vegetarian, right? The human being is omnivorous, means he eats from whatever's in the universe. So we can handle it from the earliest of all ages. Yeah, because aren't they going after our young children? They're trying to take these textbooks into the kindergarten level. So they know something. If they're trying to take it in the first grade and second grade, put the homosexual books in those early classrooms, then they know something. They know the human being can be taught at the earliest of all ages. And where did they get that from? Studying religion. They got it from the prophet, but they twisted.
Okay, so once again, this is a repeat, a reminder. As Muslim parents, we need to realize that we can't wait. You know, if the child, as you said, the winds, teaching, the heat, whatever, the environment, but that second birth of the intellect. We have to, as some mothers recite nursery rhymes to their child while the child is still. The same way.
Thank you, Imam.
So, alhamdulillah, thanks be to God. So if we teach a child that the natural way that God made your body, that all the muscles that allow you to swallow, swallow down, as you vomit, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I mean, why do it hurt? Because you're going against the natural flow. Okay? If you regurgitate or whatever. So then the body is made to go one way. For the digestive system, I'm saying it made it go one way. So when not trying to be graphic, but when someone shoves up your behind, I just said the way it is.
Yeah, reality.
You know, nature's going to tell you it's wrong. Science is going to tell you it's wrong, and the book of God going to tell you it's wrong. And in the nature, it's your body is going to say, "Oh my goodness," you know. That's why a whole lot of men have a hard time going and getting their prostate check. They say, "Oh no."
Yeah, when he gonna get the prostate?
Yeah. He said, "No."
Yeah, we doctors, some of the women might not know what we talk about. The doctor sticks his finger up the man's anus to try to feel if the prostate gland has lumps and bumps in it. Now that's a natural way to do the test, but that's his finger. That's not his biological. Reproductive rod. And when he puts that finger in, no natural man likes that. The natural man hates that. Thank you, Iman. Yeah. That's sometimes you got to be graphic. Sometimes.
I think women understand because I was saying to my wife, and she said, "Well, what do you think they've been doing to us?" I mean, but the nature speaks. It speaks loud and plain and clear. It's that your first cigarette puff, you began coughing. That was nature, loud and clear, and all your fan buffing. Now, you see where everybody else smoking cigarettes, looking cool in here. I'm going to go ahead and deal with it. But the nature spoke to you. Science spoke to you. Drinking,
it
speaks to you. So teach our children early. And sometimes it's not being graphic, as they say it. It's just being very descriptive because we're trying to save their life. And once they turned on to the natural way, then anything else to come against nature, they will have an understanding of it. But we can't wait. We cannot wait. You see, well, we wait until they get older. It's too late. TV, you cannot turn on TV in the evening. We went to this last Sunday. You cannot turn on the TV in the evening. But we used to go and see if Rated X is now prime time TV at supper time.
Yeah.
So they're not waiting to poison the minds of our children. So while we waiting to give our children antidotes to the poison, to their mental poison.
Right.
Yes, sir. All right. Alhamdulillah. We do encourage, we have the 2 hours is up. I got a little bit more time. We'd like for our parents to press one on their phone and have any thoughts or comments on this because we're trying to determine, listen to Muslim coming from the Quran and the life model of the prophets, mainly Muhammad, and from the commentary Imam Dr. D. Muhammad, as to what we have to teach our children. And something else, too, we can talk about, you mentioned this a little bit last week. I got people in my family and people who I've been around at work or whatever, that they are openly gay. But we don't bash them. You know, we don't bash them. Matter of fact, they're part of our family, you know, and we love them like any other member.
Yeah, sure.
So let's speak on how do we make a distinction for our children to see so that they won't be confused. You have any comments on that?
Yes. It's just like we tell them when they have these beautiful animals. You know, I got grandchildren, and they got, some of them got rabbits, and I forgot the rabbits. I forgot the other name. But anyway, let's show you my example. I can't even tell the different names of the creatures that I'm thinking they're all rabbits, but they're not. And so it's the same analogy. This is the way I talk with my children. I said, well, just like you got different, granddaddy called this a rabbit. And they said, no, granddaddy, this is not a rabbit. This is a ferret. No, this kind of thing. Oh, you know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So generally I use analogies like that in nature that they can relate to. And then I say, all right, this is the same problem we have with human beings. And they say, oh, yeah, granddaddy, I thought it was something wrong with them. That's what they tell me.
Right.
They say, I thought it was something wrong. They will say it, not me. See, you can't fool a child. You cannot fool a child because the child is closer to nature. The older you get, too often, the further you get away from your nature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of your nature speaking to you, you are speaking to your nature. Too often, you're going against your nature. You know, like I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be graphic. I'm going to warn people. When you're young, you know automatically when to go to the bathroom. When you're very young, when you're a little arm baby, you go on time. When you're 1 year old, you go on time. When you're 3 years old, you go on time because you're going to wet that diaper. Now, when you get around 7 years old, you go to the bathroom on your own. You take yourself to the bathroom. But you still know nature is telling you to take me. Now, when you take something artificial in your body, like alcohol or drugs, the same bladder that will tell you to take me to the bathroom cannot no longer communicate with your mind because you got interference between your bladder and your brain by this foreign substance. So the same analogy goes with gender identification. The natural body can no longer communicate with you clearly because the lines have been cut with a false narrative. Same person that was a baby. Now, I'll say this to your listeners. Now, you can put on a dress and you can imitate a woman all day long, 20, you know, like 7-8 hours a day. But let me tell you something. When you go to sleep, you're not going to sleep like that woman you imitating. You're going to sleep like the man that God made originally. Same thing with a woman who's a lesbian that says she's a man. Dear woman, I'm not trying to offend you at all. I'm a doctor. Put y'all to sleep on the operating table. When I put y'all to sleep, you go back to where you was when you came in this world. You do not sleep like a man. And that man doesn't sleep like a woman. Because the laws of nature are taking over, and they will not lie, and the law of nature will not accept a lie. Good God Almighty. That's the beauty of it all. Nature will not accept a lie when you sleep it. Now, when you wake up, nature says, okay, I'll let you act the clown. Go ahead on. But wait till you go to sleep. And then it comes out the real person. And it's beautiful to notice.
Sir.
And I tell a lot of people oftentimes, Brother Man, if you don't believe me, get a video camera and put it in your room and go to sleep and leave the camera on. And you'll find out you can only act one way. You're going to go to sleep. You're going to go to sleep as a man and wake up as a man. You're going to go to sleep as a woman and wake up as a woman. That's the reality. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
So what
it's only after you wake up. It's only after you wake up and you have to realize, oh, I got to go back into the imitation mode. Then you start imitating, but not when you first wake up. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
You know,
and I'd like to see the studies that contradict me, so-called scientific studies.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, this is another, and I've been wrestling for a few days on how to say it, so I'm just going to say it. Because there's a mention in the Quran about how the husband and the wife or the spouse, how they are intimate, you know.
Right.
And how they have love. And then after a while, she's pregnant, she's carrying the light load, and the light load grows heavy.
Right.
And then the light grow, mm-hmm. and then when they have the baby, they promise they dedicate this child to God. But the part that I wanted to say is that the moment of being intimate, the moment of that, the moment of a man and a woman sexually involved having intercourse. Again, this is graphic, but we're talking, we want to save our people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That moment of climax, male or female, right?
Right.
The spouse get the pleasure of seeing the other spouse have that look on their face that ain't nobody else going to see, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All right? It's that moment,
sir.
You say, well, that they are, you happy because they happy, right? You can, if you
that's
want to,
right.
You can
that's
look
right.
On the right in the eye, right in the eye and say, I love you, looking at them right in the eye. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Can't no gay person do that because they in the wrong position.
Right. And they don't understand that. You know,
I mean,
it's just a reality. Yeah.
I will say it again because the special moment that God, sex in Islam is sacred. And the love that comes with it is special. And the eye-to-eye contact that you can have from a male and a female, you cannot get it male-to-male or female-to-female because you're in the wrong position.
Yeah.
When your spouse, your other person, reach that moment of ecstasy, you can't witness it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Now, so what is God telling us that? What is God saying to that? When Islam don't make sex nasty. Yeah, you know, you can be wrong. You should do it outside the marriage bond or whatever, commit adultery fornication. But when you do it, spouse to spouse, it's a sacred thing. And so God bless you to see the looks on one another's face.
Mm-hmm.
So, LGBTQ, think about that. Think about that.
Yeah.
You do not get that special moment to see your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, so, I want to say this because this will probably help the listeners as another point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have unity in America or the world. Question is why? Is because the real human content is missing. Why do you have crime? Because there's no human being in the body. Why do you have murder? Because there's no human being in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't depend on people. Listen now, I'm talking this for your listener. You cannot depend on people who are confused and who are sent away from reality.
Mm-hmm.
You can't depend on those. You know, here's a man or a woman who can't support the most intimate of loyalty. It's not loyalty to your wife or loyalty to your husband. It's loyalty from your mind to your body. The first marriage is the mind to their body. I hope you all can understand that. You have to have that loyalty of the mind to the body. Now, the minute you start lying in that relationship, it's over for all other relationships. It's just a matter of time. You know, you have to be loyal and truthful from your mind to your body. Whatever in your psychology has to be supported by your biology. Your psychology cannot be at odds with your biology. They have to complement each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look, for your listeners, you have diversity in your shoes. You don't wear two right shoes. You don't wear mm-hmm. two left shoes. You wear a right shoe and a left shoe. I mean, it's just common
right.
sense, you know.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Complementary opposites.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's called a complementary opposites.
There you go.
You know,
give
I mean,
me the big
polysyllabic
leg. Yes, sir.
You know,
I'm most appreciative.
I mean, like, if you got you a car battery and you want it to work,
right.
you can't have
you
two positive poles or two negative poles. You got to have
that's right.
one of each.
Can it have
because they are complementary
yeah.
opposites, like the piston in the car.
Right.
Like, you got to have
right.
up, you got to have down. To have in, you got to have out.
That's right. That's
and
right.
If you got two
okay.
of the same, it ain't nothing happening because Allah made everything in pairs.
Yes, right.
That's
right.
And they're complementary opposites. I got a caller here. I think I know who it is because it's 101-111. Sister, I think I know about my sister, Amatulla, probably. So I'm like Sister Amatulla. How you doing?
Well, alaikum salam. Yes. And I'm
well,
yes,
alaikum salam. Good to hear from
you. Yes, well,
from,
and
thank
actually,
Allah
I don't know what was on. Yeah, I was trying to get on for a very, very long time, even the other hour. So let me just... get to the point.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what was
Good
on my
okay.
phone. Yeah, I'm trying to get on the long time.
Oh, I ain't seen you till now. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, first I want to wish you all the blessings of this day and to thank you for spending some of your potentially family time with your extended
yeah.
family, which is us, and carrying your natural role of fathers into the community and society and being fathers to us. In terms of giving us leadership. My comment had to do with, I just wanted to share with the community that when I was working directly in mental health therapy, that almost all, if not all of the persons who were homosexual when I was taking the history, had history of earlier abuse
yes.
same-sex abuse. Now, that's not to
yes.
say every single person had, because I know now it's a lot different because with social media and all of that,
right.
our children are being encouraged to experiment and to, try out things that the average child didn't even have any knowledge of back, 20, 30 years ago when I was actively in the field. So just to be careful, conscious of that, when the, it was getting to be very popular, there were a lot of talk shows and all that, and I kept saying, why don't they ever let us on who
right.
are, right there, and we're taking the histories. It was they would have the religious people that would come on and bash the homosexuals, and then that would just put kind of a sympathy attention, but it wasn't giving them facts that they needed. And
yeah.
then later on when I was taking the histories, then I noticed the people started backing away from that as if they were doing something wrong or not being
mm-hmm.
on the right
right.
just given the right information, and I noticed fewer and fewer people, started being open about these early experiences. Now, just to even with the prostitution and all of that, those
mm-hmm.
were related to early sexual abuse too, of the opposite sex. So, if
mm-hmm.
any type of too early sexual exposure has a negative effect on the person. And as therapists, we were trying to help the people control their, get in check their behavior so that they were not
right.
doing things that were destructive to themselves or to the society.
Right.
And then, mm-hmm. but then now in the modern day times, we're supposed to just let the, the homosexual children act out their sexual, activities on one another, and I'm just saying I know that we're supposed to do what is correct. So and then they've even passed some laws where if a child or adult says that they don't like their behavior, if it's homosexual behavior, then you can't, but I mean, it's against some of the laws to even try to give them therapy to take them away from those behaviors. So so we just have to be conscious. I think some of our people, a lot of our people really don't know because we're bombarded with one side, and we rarely get the other side. I had once posted something about my experience, and the attack I had was so vicious. I've never ever in my whole life been attacked like that. And someone asked me, did a heterosexual, you know, abuse me to make me come out to be a heterosexual? And
it was all kinds.
So anyway, I know you're trying to wind down, and inshallah, you'll be able to, you know, as I said before, enjoy some time with your families, and may Allah bless you all very much.
Thank you for your past works for humanity and whatever you can do currently. We appreciate you. She's been doing this for years. I've been knowing her for almost 50 years. She's been on the case trying to help humanity.
Right.
We are so thankful under Imam Muhammad's leadership. She was the first woman at that time we called Imam, you know. I remember.
Yeah.
So thankful. Yeah, for the Muslims
that
are standing up, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I know she helped me quite a bit. Yeah, so, and we do appreciate you, Sister Abatola. We do. Imam Nasser, there's no more callers in the queue. Maybe we can, I don't know if we can call this a wrap-up because it's an ongoing concern. So what should be our next steps? What should be go ahead, please.
Yeah, next step is us to have the discussion around the country in the individual massages or regional massages to help the community.
Mm-hmm.
As she pointed out and the other sister from Chicago pointed out, is that many parents need help, you know, because we were never confronted like this with the media giving us a massive approval. That's the problem, you know, and it's intimidating. You know, and it makes you feel as though you are the one that's wrong, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is for it. I mean, that's just a media mind game, you know. And we have to help people to understand the majority of the people are not like that in the world. That's a small minority in the world. It's not a majority, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just deception. That's another form of advertisement, you know, like you sell cars, right? This is the best car in the lot. Buy this car. Well, this is what they're doing. It's advertising that behavior. But as I said, you know, they just need to put a video camera on. I'd like to see, now, you know, they're going to get an actor to challenge me, right? They'll have the actor doing it, going through female movements during sleep, and we'll have to bust them out. Now, that's an actor now, you know. Nature don't do that.
But
you know,
but
sometimes
you also indicated
that.
Yeah, but you also indicated, in addition to parents becoming better educated, some of us as humans also need to become better educated.
Of course. We can't excuse our behavior or misbehavior. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But at least I had some imams to say they weren't knowledgeable. At least they were honest. I said, alhamdulillah. So we can take care of that.
Yes, sir.
That'd be quickly solved. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But then also, the moral courage of leaders. I'm like you're saying the emails, but also sometimes as parents, you know, we not trying to offend anybody, but we've always seen Muslim parents who let their children dress inappropriately because they don't want to put pressure on the child. You know,
saying they don't want to lose the child. Well, you're going to lose them anyway. If you don't say something, you're going to lose. So if I'm going to lose it, let me speak the truth. At least my conscience won't bother me. Because I've seen many parents tell me later on, I wish I had said something when they were small. You know what I mean? Or when they were under my roof. I was afraid I was going to lose them. But you lost them anyway. You know?
Without,
and I know it's a hurtful thing to hear. Yeah,
but I mean, but
and
not
I'm
sorry,
look, I'm coming as
the
imam. Yeah, dealing with family problems, divorce, separation. This is real. You know, this talk we're having is real. We're trying to prevent this.
But I want to just add to that, if you do tell them and you lose them, they still got in their head the truth you told them.
Yes,
them back.
Exactly.
But if you don't tell them to lose them, they ain't got no anchor, nothing to go back to. And I heard you remember Muhammad, he used the expression of the four birds, the Abraham and the four birds, for the same analogy. He said,
yes,
but
sir.
It begins, he said, you train the birds first.
Right, right.
And when you, and he was saying the birds in this analogy were your children. You train them. Then when they go out to the hills, he's at a hill like a small mountain. And the mountain is a big influence. The hills are small influence. When you see the chicken go out to the hills, he said they're going to look to be dead. He said, my goodness, that's the child I raised. But the, said, but when the call is made, the training you gave them, right, before, when the call is made, they're going to remember that training.
That's right.
And they're going to come flying back down to our
fields.
And the Quran said they're going to come back with the exceeding speed. He said they're going to come back walking. Now, let me just say one last thing. Now, when they come back to the mass field, they're going to have, they're going to smell like reefer. They're going to have red hair and green hair and earrings all over their body and tattoos. But they are begging to come back because you trained them first.
And the world woke them up.
Woke them up and they came fly. Because, see, actually, you don't know, we came out of some crazy situations ourselves to come to Islam.
Yes, that's exactly right.
By the time they were born, we already making five prayers a day, fasting around Ramadan. We had quit cussing. We had quit drinking. We had quit using drugs. We had quit fornicating. And all they see is goody two-shoes.
Right.
A goody two-shoes got some nickies, got some hickeys on their head, and they trying to save you from getting the same hickeys. So train, tell them anyway. Let them know our position plainly on LGBTQ and why. Quranically, Islamically, because when the world hear them, they got something to fall back on. Alhamdulillah.
And you know, for your listeners, again, we're talking about ownership, how you own a car or you own a house, okay?
Yes, sir.
But you got to first own yourself. And what good is it for you to have a car or a washer or a TV or any of these kind of things if you don't have yourself? So we have to understand an artificial self is being formed when we imitate the TV, the internet, the movies. And then those things become a demon in our life, and then that thing is the thing that's really torturing us and denying us peace of mind. It drives us to reefers and wine and cocaine and undermining all my good efforts that I used to have, depriving me of ever reaching my goals. I cannot reach my goals because of the artificial self, the enemy between me and my goal. I'm talking to the homosexual community and I'm trying to help you because this is what helped me. I had to be shown the thing that I liked was my enemy. The cigarette was my enemy. The alcohol was my enemy, but I liked it, and I defended it. You can't tell me I could. I'm grown. I could smoke. I could do what I want. I've been doing this all my life. You know, this is how we talk. Without any kind of rational thought, any moral curiosity, we're just programmed dummies never to question the things that we were given. You see? So somebody had to wake me up. And I'm obligated to wake up anybody else who will listen. It's not an attack on you. It's really a defense for you. We are defending your original orientation. That's what we're doing. You might not know yourself. And for you, to help you a little more, you know, when you get a broken bone, say a broken bone in your body, you can't see it. You don't know where the bone is broken. And the doctor that's going to treat you, he doesn't know where the bone is broken either. So he has to have a machine called an x-ray machine to see where the bone is broken so he can reattach it, you see, and establish it in the correct position. Because, look, if you don't know where it is, you can put the bones together in the wrong place. and still have problems calling yourself
right.
healing the situation. So
yes,
I'm
sir.
Saying this to your listeners, that the thing that affects you most is the things you can't see. You know, they tell you sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never do. That's the biggest lie they ever told a human being. It is the thing that you can't see that is the worst destructive element in your life. What you can't see, the invisible thing. And if you don't believe me, then tell me what color your mind is. Is it orange? Is it green? Is it yellow? You can't tell me because you can't see it. There's no camera to capture it. There's no x-ray
right.
that can capture you. Yeah. And the
yeah,
reason
so
why
now,
I'm
you,
telling you that.
You're saying the mind, uh-huh. I mean, you're saying the mind, not the brain. You're saying, tell me what color your mind
yeah,
is.
Yeah, not the brain. The brain is a physical
gotcha.
Component. You can see the brain. If you cut all the skin away and you crack the skull, you will see the brain, but you won't see the mind. You cannot see the mind. And this is confusing.
Yes,
thank you for bringing that out, because these terms confuse the audience who don't have specialty training. You know what I mean? Once you get into certain specialty training, then it's easy for, you know, the common, I mean, for the educated people to understand those terms. But the common everyday person, they think the brain and the mind is the same. They're not the same. They're different. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, sir. So what we're saying in this week and for last conversation, mainly addressing Muslim families with a target toward our youth. What they promote as LGBTQ is going against the nature that God has created.
Yeah.
We're being plain about that. We're not apologizing for it. But at the same time, we respect all human beings as God's creation. So if a person identifies that way, you still treat them with the respect of being a human being.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we said this last week. I'm going to reiterate it again now. If I go to my family reunion or to the interfaith picnic, they say, well, here come the Muslims. We make sure that the alcohol and the party, that they ain't got food with it, they will respect that.
Yes.
If I go to interfaith, whatever, or stuff, and they know that Muslims do not accept the concept of Jesus being God or the Son of God, they will respect that and make accommodations. But now the atmosphere now, if you say we're in line with that same line of respect you showed for the first two, or alcohol, whatever, I'm going to add to that another one, we don't recognize same-sex marriage. All of a sudden, they won't make you a demon.
Right.
Or they'll make you a beast. It's like, no, you can't. But how can you accept this, the alcohol and the pork and accept the Jesus, and especially the white Jesus? And you had no problem. You can accommodate that. But now all of a sudden, you want to call out the army or whatever. Or you want to call 911 on me or something. It's like. There's something serious about that we need to talk about, because that's what we're being confronted with. And even it was in Maryland at the Baltimore City County Council. There were three Muslim youth.
Right.
They spoke and they said, we do not want to be taught this LGBTQ. And this lady, this councilwoman, she said the Muslim youth are siding with the racists.
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, they're gone. So
yeah, and they're using our strategy that we used years ago. And it's a strategy, but it's misplaced and it's inappropriate. You know, the racist is a racist. There's no question about it. You know, but this particular situation is talking about people who want to be defended with regards to their inheritance of human sacredness. It's a total difference. You know, you have human sanctity, and nobody has the right to denigrate that. I don't care who you are. You could take me to the president, and you take me to the highest court of in the land, and I will stand up for the sanctity of the human right. Nobody has the right to violate that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. but you're going to tell me that I am something that I'm not, and you want to preach that to my child, to my grandchild, you got to deal with me, buddy. Oh,
that's right.
You're not telling my
that's
child. Right. Look, don't demand that my child know how to add 2 + 2. And if my child says 5, you're going to say you're wrong. And if my child says 3 + 3 = 8, you're going to tell the child is wrong. You demand that the child get the right answer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then you turn around sociologically and you want to force down the child's throat something that is against nature. Now, how are the two going to be reconciled? You can't. You can't ask the child to be correct in math and then make him accept something that's against human nature. And this, again, is where the problem is. It's in the language. People think that you're being anti-human or you're racist. No, it's not. We're talking about true human rights as opposed to a lifestyle choice. It's a big difference. They are not the same. And this is that language that has to be emphasized. And this is going to help a lot of Americans. By the way, we're finding more and more people are coming out. They're coming out now and speaking the same language we're speaking because it's sweeping now.
Yes.
People are waking up. They've been put to sleep. You know, they've been in a stupor, and in a stupor of fear more than anything else. But because of this program and a few other programs, people are being awakened. They're awakening, and they're starting to see my silence has been a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this to all of you. They're going to change that language in the Constitution. I'm telling you, it's going to change. The children and the grandchildren in the future are going to have the courage to change it. They're going to say, what the hell happened to my parents and my grandparents to allow this? And you may say, you don't believe it. I'm telling you, you believe it because look at the African-American history. When it was popular to call us three-fifths of a human, when it was popular 50, 100, 150 years ago to have us as chattel slavery. Now they're trying to erase that where there's no more reality for that. So the same thing that happened to the blacks is going to happen in this sexual movement. It's just a matter of time. It's not going to stand. Truth cannot last in the face of falsehood. It's either going to be truth
Wait a minute. No, I think you said it backwards. I had to catch you.
No. I said it on purpose. I said truth. I know what I'm saying. Truth cannot last in the face of falsehood. What I mean is standing together as though they're reality.
Oh, okay. That can't last.
Uh-huh. And that's what they're trying to produce. You see what I mean? It's like the black civil rights movement and the homosexual movement. They're the same. No. No.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is distinct from falsehood. And it cannot last with the two of them standing together as the same reality. No, sir.
Okay. I'm telling you, listeners,
yeah. I'm telling you, sometimes you have to use backward language to get people's attention. They say, oh, he's making a mistake. yeah. You know, it's done on purpose to make people think. And so I'm telling you, it might take 20, 30 years, maybe 50 years, but it's going to be struck down. I guarantee you, because it's against human nature. Human nature is going to rise up, and it's going to evolve and speak itself through the natural conscience that's awakened in the future. I'm telling you.
It's just a matter of time.
Look at slavery. It couldn't last. Slavery was accepted, but where is it now? It's gone. Because truth has come out and knocked out falsehood's brain. And that's what we're doing now. We're knocking out the falsehood foundation. It can't stand in this kind of environment. You get anybody, I don't care how many degrees he got, he could be a doctor or a lawyer. Put him on a program with us, he ain't going to be able to stand. I don't care how many degrees he has. You put that truth out there, can't stand. We do have one more caller.
We have one caller that came in. We down to our last few minutes. Caller 213.
Yes, sir.
I think that's a California number. 213.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Yes, this is, I mean, SisterClaireMuhammadSTEMSchool.com, SisterClaireMuhammadSTEMSchool.com. I don't want to upset the apple cart. I want to keep it peaceful. But let me ask you this, brother. In the face of all this LGBTQ plus all that XYZ and the abortion issue, isn't this what makes up at least 50% of the appeal of Donald Trump?
Of course. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. He's appealing to that moral base. See, that moral base is coming from a position of conscience, which you can understand it. But he's putting that side by side with truth and falsehood again. And it takes the American collective conscience a little while to catch up with it. I mean, look at, they got him on trial now. It took 8 years. You see the point I'm making? At one point, they didn't think you would ever even have a trial. So the same thing is going to happen.
Yeah, but he's still going to run. And the people still want to run. He's still running anyway.
Yep.
Because I think because of that, this thing with this LGBT and how they're shoving it down our throats, and they're putting it all over, and it's scaring the heck out of parents and everything. You know, I mean, they, you know, and then, you know, just recently with that abortion, in court.
That's
his appeal, man. I would say that's even 60% of his appeal. You know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, and it's a wise strategy, but it's still wrong. It's wisdom. You're using truth with falsehood, and we used to call that in the Nation of Islam trick knowledge. Grafted knowledge, grafting truth with falsehood. That's what they're using. And so the majority of the American citizenry are under hypnotic suggestion. They're not thinkers. And the reason why I say this is the January 6th situation. In that January 6th situation where they attacked the White House, you had doctors, lawyers, engineers, pharmacists, chemists. Those were the dumb white trash Americans. Those were highly educated Americans, but they were blinded by extremes and emotionalism. You know what I mean? Because the immoral decisions that have been made in Congress, such as what we're discussing now. So naturally, if you don't have good leadership, you'll grasp for any leadership, seemingly. You know how they say, a drowning man will grasp for a straw.
Yeah, you know, and also I heard it said this way here, referring to our connection to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We were so mad at the white man. I'm talking about 30s, 40s, 50s, right? We were so mad at the white man to find someone had the courage to say in public, call him a name. Oh, man, he was my hero, because I've been wanting to call this white man a name for a long time.
And then he
raised Malcolm and others. And they said, oh, yeah, man, I ain't got the courage. But since they said it, they've been my hero. And I think that's the point you're making.
Right. It's the same thing, Donald Trump. Yeah.
There are people who wanted to say a whole lot of stuff for a long time. But since he come out and just said, then they say, well, he's my man. Then that's the appeal that he has. But he has luggage, heavy luggage.
Oh, yeah.
And right now they are opening up all those suitcases on him.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And your point is well taken.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
I mean, because I mean, he has some background noise. I'm going to bring you back on, but he had background noise, brother. I mean, so I'll put you on mute for a minute. I'm going to bring you back on in a second. But it's just that we don't want to take a Donald Trump or anybody and take it away from what we have to do ourselves,
right.
You know. So this is not about Donald Trump at all, and his appeal.
Yeah.
This is about what do we have to do as Muslim and Muslim parents and Muslim communities to save our youth.
Yeah.
I'm bringing you back on. Brother Amin?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. I put you on mute because it sounds like you're outdoors or something, doing something.
Yeah,
I background
am.
Noise.
I am. Yeah, I'm just going to say this. Yes, sir.
Yes,
you're out there in nature, so you got a good thing going.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, beyond that, because they don't care. A lot of people don't care. They still gonna vote for him. They still is with him everything.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, because I would say one of the this, you know, one of the things that LGBT is scaring people into his arms, scaring people.
Yeah.
Because,
exactly.
You know, they
exactly.
wanted to put I was told that they wanted to put a pride flag on the White House. He said, Donald Trump said, no, you ain't going to put no pride.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah. that the masses know about him.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
and that would scare anybody. I mean, and then you know,
yeah,
it's Quranic. It's our holy book speaks against, you know, that, and you know the story of Lot, and then also his stance against abortion. You know, our holy Quran
yeah.
talks about
yeah.
burying the babies
yeah.
alive,
sure, sure,
burying
sure,
the little
sure,
girls
sure.
alive, infanticide is alive. So that you know, I got into a whole lot of trouble.
Brother, I mean,
breaking his name.
Brother,
up.
I mean, brother,
but,
I mean,
but
see, I can see why you get in trouble because you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, you done called in and you found somebody to promote Trump, and that's fine. But it's like that man had done so much more wrong that the Quran speaks against too, you know. So that's just be balanced. The focus again is not about Trump. The focus about what we're going to do for our family,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well,
so we're going to leave Trump out of it. Matter of fact, that's been explained, but we're not here to promote or put down Trump. We're talking about what do we
right,
teach
right.
our children.
But let me ask you about reparations, though. It's
but
huge.
Once again,
brother, I mean,
that's not
yes.
the topic today.
Yes. Oh,
that's
oh,
not the topic.
What was the topic? LGBTQ?
Yeah, what do we teach our children within the community?
Oh.
We can go off on CRT, BLM, or whatever else. The topic is, it's an Islamic discussion from Muslims. What do we teach our children? You see, so that's the topic.
About CRT,
it's not
about
Trump.
CRT also? About no, CRT also?
None of that. None of that.
Oh.
It's only about
right.
what
do
you
teach your
children? Regarding LGBTQ, that's it.
Oh,
so okay, all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yes, you're welcome.
And I'm still waiting for you to get that book out that you've been working on.
Yes,
too.
Sir. That's right. I'm really working on it. Really, I have the
yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Thank you for
thank
encouragement.
You. Thank
for
you.
Encouragement. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Ray Manasa, you think you
yes,
hear the
sir.
Last word? You hear the last word. Anything you want to share?
Alhamdulillah. Yes, I want to say I thank you very much and your listeners for their support of the base of nature. That's all it is, so that we don't have to offend anybody. What does nature
yes,
have
sir.
To say? And we support the voice of nature. Even for the atheist, he can't argue with that, you know.
Yes, sir.
So I'm thankful, Imam, for your stand-up and for your courage. And as I've been watching, it's been shown to me more and more people are standing up, defending the rights of heterosexuality and pointing out the problems in the in this new gender crisis. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So that's the most important thing. It's in the conversation now, the balance. Now people
yes,
have a choice. Mm-hmm. Before
mm-hmm.
they didn't have a choice. Yeah.
Well, hopefully this program will give birth to will be called Next Steps, to where we can continue the conversation
yes.
in a intelligent
yes.
way, based upon our Quran and
yes,
the life model of Muhammad, to share with us what our children need to know, because they are going to be confronted. They're already being confronted. Let
mm.
them go. Without giving them
right.
any message, because it is a mental and spiritual war, and that's
right.
I see no other way of saying it. Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
W. Ma'am, and thank you,
thank you, Imam Sahih. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Give the family and the believers my greetings.
I mean, and same to you and your family and believers.
Yes, sir.
And inshallah,
okay.
We'll be back next week with another topic. Maybe we can't pick up on CRT and reparations. But until then, we're going to leave you all with peace. As-salamu alaykum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you.